Hello and welcome to episode, I don't even know what episode this is. I have lost track already, of the Cardstock Podcast. I am Austin, I am one of your hosts, and I am not joined by the other two. Trevor and Austin are back up north. I'm down at college, and our schedules just couldn't work last week. For a long time, we've been trying to work out a way to talk over Skype to be able to do episodes and such, but it just hasn't worked out. So I snagged one of my roommates, Will.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Good. He played Magic before. He doesn't actively play now, nor does he have any idea what the current meta and story and everything
None.
Is going on.
None.
So and we're going to be talking about Battle for Zendikar spoilers. So it's going to be phenomenal to see his perspective on stuff. But to understand his perspective, we have to know what his perspective even is. So, Will, when did you start playing, and how long did you play, and this, that, the other?
Well, I started playing, let's say it was about a year ago.
Okay.
That I, like, first started playing. Well, it was a little over a year ago.
When were you taught to play?
Oh, I want to say the beginning of last summer, so around May 2014.
Okay. So that would be about Theros block coming out, I think.
Yeah.
I think?
I remember specifically that was the newest one that was out.
The Greco-Roman mythology.
Yeah,
that
was cool.
So what did you play? Like how far down the rabbit hole did you go?
Well, for the first little bit, I was very, very casual. Like, I'd pick up a booster here and there if I, like, you know, had some extra money on my paycheck. It was really my friends that got really deep into it, and so they kind of drew me in, just wanting someone to play with and everything, and I'd occasionally, like, build a deck, and they were really terrible, awful decks, because I didn't really know the strategy of the game at all. Yeah, but they kind of got much deeper into it than I did. I never really looked into, like, the actual stories of the cards or the meta, the overarching and everything.
Did you go to, like, FNM? They attend any
tournaments? Yeah, I totally did. Me and my friends, there's this comic book shop in Provo called Dragon's Keep. Shout out to everyone who knows that. It's a great place. I love it. I recommend it.
It's a great shop. You should check it out. I need to come up with that's a catchphrase from another podcaster. High clues. So I need to come up with something for promoting your local game store, because that's what keeps the game in business. Anyways,
right,
you're saying.
Yeah, we'd go there almost every Friday night. They would go a lot more often than I did, because I was not as financially off as they were.
It's a giant sinkhole for your money.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. But I would go almost every week, if not every. And we play, we draft and everything. We didn't really ever do they did tournaments. I didn't really, because I wasn't really good enough, and they didn't really have enough cards to make an excellent tournament-style deck.
So what do you mean by tournament? Like, there's a standard tournament that you just play.
Right, yeah, they'd have standard, they'd have modern, they'd have a couple other different, like, versions. They'd have PYP, Pick Your Poison. Like,
okay.
You get to, like, I'm sure you know what that means.
Yeah. Actually, no, I don't. That's actually a new phrase, Pick Your Poison.
Oh, Pick Your Poison. It's, you basically get to pick which block you play as. So, like, you can, depending on, like, what you and your opponent agree on, you can play as, like, only Return to Ravnica, or, like, only Modern, or...
And you do that for, like, a four-round tournament?
Yeah, around that much.
Cool. Okay.
But yeah, like, there'd be tournaments going on of, like, all different kinds of blocks and variations and everything. I never really did that, because I never really had enough cards to make a decent deck. Like, I had some decks that I played with that I liked that I kind of was, like, experimenting with and everything, and I kind of had my friends, like, kind of show me what I could do and everything.
Right.
Yeah, so they'd do that, and then I would every once in a while jump in and kind of play with one of their decks and borrow it and everything. But mostly what I did was drafting, and so, you know, you'd get your three boosters and pass them around and
awesome.
Everything, and it was really fun, and I liked that a lot.
But so you're gonna be excited. That's good, because the sealed, the limited format for the original Zendikar block was phenomenal. It was one of the best limited sets ever, I think. And the new Zendikar is looking to be really good too. So it's gonna be fun to see your opinions on that, because I've been watching the standard meta. I don't really play as much because we don't have a local game store down here at Snow College, or any from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really get to get out and play that much and all that. But
side note,
yeah.
Just cut you off.
No, you're good.
Last year, I know there's a place in Manti
Oh, sorry.
That actually sells cards. I don't really, because when I went there, it was when Thrones of Tarkir, or Dragons of Tarkir.
Cons or Dragons.
Cons of Cons of Tarkir came out.
Okay.
And I noticed they had, like, the Cons pack. I'm like, oh, cool. But I noticed they had, like, Return to Ravnica, which I know is pretty old. And
well, I guess. It
comparatively.
It is actually kind of old. It's a year, year and a half, 2 years old. But, yeah. I mean, to us, it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
Because Magic, you have this thing that happens to your brain where you forget the 3 to 6 months in between each set, you just automatically jump in time to the previews of the next set.
Yeah, and I mean, like, for me, the three blocks that I always have my decks built out of them, like, my decks that I have sitting in my attic at home and everything, are mainly built out of Journey into Nyx, Born of the Gods, and Theros.
Okay.
And so anything outside of that range is kind of alien to me. So, like, anything older is like, I don't know what that means, and anything newer is like, oh, that's kind of cool, I've heard about it a little bit, but I haven't really experienced it much. Actually, that's not true, I had a little bit of N15.
Okay.
A little bit, but that's kind of when I started
petering out.
Yeah, it's not even that I started petering out, it's just I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's a big thing.
I mean, because if I still had the money, I'd totally be into it. But
sweet.
I just don't, so.
Yeah. So, let's see, you missed out on a large chunk of the Cons block, so Cons of Tarkir, Fate Reforged, and Dragons of Tarkir.
Yeah, I remember when Cons first came out, all my friends back home made a really big deal out of it. I was like, oh, dude, you're going to get to the midnight release with us and everything. Like, that'd be cool, but, you know, it's an hour and a half drive, and I've got school tomorrow, and
I
all that stuff.
I can't afford it.
And, exactly, yeah. But I went up with them, like, when I just, you know, went home for a weekend, and they kind of showed me a little bit about it, and we went to this other place. I actually don't recommend this place. It's a bad place. Don't go there.
Let's not say the name, then.
Yeah.
But
it's... We went there, and we played a little bit, and it was kind of fun, and I got exposed to Cons of Tarkir.
Okay. Cool. And then we've had Origins, which is... M15 was, like, the core set, and then I did the three-block. Origins was the last core set.
For 15?
No, ever.
Oh.
Origins.
Oh, that's right, because they're changing it.
Right, they changed it,
yeah,
so now it's going to be two sets and a block, and then a new block with a summer product in between.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with Battle for Zendikar, it'll be Battle for Zendikar, and then the next set, which I will tell you the name of, and you'll hopefully have some good reaction to that, and then it'll be the next block, which will be another story that we don't know about yet.
Right.
Well, awesome. It's good to have a little background for you.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting in the same room because, again, Skype wouldn't work. I have pulled up on my tablet the Battle for Zendikar spoiler, the official spoilers, everything that was spoiled at PAX. We are recording this about a week after PAX Prime and the Zendikar world building panel and reveal stuff and all that. So we're just going to go down the list, and I'm going to show him the horror monstrosity that is Eldrazi, with a slight bit of backstory as to what happened beforehand cause this need for a battle for Zendikar. Okay, so in original Ravnica, when I started playing back 2010-2011, we went to this world called Zendikar, and Zendikar was built to be a treasure hunting world, where the land roiled. There was a thing called the roil that happened, where the land would buckle and convulse, and basically the surface of the land would shift. Like a mountain would become a valley, a plains would become filled in with water, mountains would rise and float in the air. It was a world of just change and adventure, and there was loot, and there was traps, and there was all sorts of stuff. But throughout the story, there are these floating hedrons. I've shown you the hedrons before. Giant, if you take two pyramids and you stick them on, stick the flat square side on either side of them, that's a hedron of varying sizes. And then the hedrons coalesce and form into different shapes and patterns, and they form like a network around Zendikar. Now, we didn't really know much about this at the time, but the first set was called Zendikar, second set was called Worldwake, and the third one was called Rise of the Eldrazi. Long story short, some planeswalkers were meddling around and interfering and stuff was going on, and they released these monsters that had been trapped within Zendikar itself. It's like a world was a prison. Quite literally, it's what it was. The Eldrazi were sealed away. Now, for those of you at home who don't know what the Eldrazi are and haven't been watching the spoilers coming out and whatnot, or don't have friends to tell you, take the Zerg from StarCraft, multiply that by your nightmares, and then add in the fact that they eat existence.
All right.
It's quite true. You'll see from the art that they're very much the fleshy, biological demons, so to speak. Very tentacly, very off-color, very alien. Extremely alien for the art style that is magic and fantasy. So, long story short, the planeswalkers were around, meddling around, and they were in a place called the Eye of Ugin, who is another thing. And they accidentally released these Eldrazi. And there are three Eldrazi titans. Kozilek, Ulamog, and... Oh, I forget. Emrakul. Yes, Kozilek, Ulamog, and Emrakul. They're all each distinctly different in their design and their being. And just their presence spawns their broods, their lineages. And each lineage is small versions of them, bits of essence of Eldrazi. From spawns, like little chittering creatures, to larger behemoths and whatnot. That their entire purpose is to kill and to eat and suck the life out of the land and of living beings. So we got there, and the Eldrazi, due to the meddling of the planeswalkers, there's a crack in the Eldrazi prison that is Zendikar. And Zendikar is reacting to the Eldrazi, excuse me, I'm going through puberty, that was a voice crack. Zendikar is reacting to
It's only bad if you bring attention to it.
True. I'm going to edit that out. That's a lie. I'll probably not edit that out.
Whatever.
Etc. The Eldrazi were like a disease, a blight within Zendikar. And Zendikar, we find out later, was causing the royal. It was Zendikar trying to reject and like vomit out the Eldrazi, get them out of there. Because the Eldrazi originally come from the Aether, the space in between worlds, the blind eternities and whatnot.
Right.
So it wants it gone. It's alien. So it was a crack due to one planeswalker, and then some others went and meddled, and it broke open. And there already had been some spawn leaking through the crack, but the titans emerged, a lot of death followed, and the story ended. For like 6-7 years now. Well, six, because it was 2011. Yeah.
Like 5 years.
5 years. Yeah. 5 years we've been wondering, okay, the Eldrazi are free. What the heck happens now?
Yeah.
And we've seen characters from that story in other worlds on other adventures, chiefly among them being Gideon, Chandra, Jace, those were Nissa, I'll go over these walkers as well.
Right, but, I'm familiar with
most of them.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They were some of the main main characters within that this first Zendikar Block story. Flash forward to one of the packs or a Comic-Con or something where they have a reveal trailer for the next set. I should have pulled this up so you can watch, but let me describe also because it's an audio podcast.
Right.
But it's a setting of a tranquil sea, a coastal thing with mountains rising along the coast. There's greenery everywhere, and the camera starts to pan up, and you notice that there are mountains floating in the sky, and the camera pans up further, and you see this glowing hedron of blue light, and it shines outward, and the screen goes dark, and then rises forward are silver letters that say "Battle for Zendikar," coming in October 2015.
Oh man,
the crowd went pretty nuts, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I'm probably not remembering correctly, so correct me at home if you want to. But
we can't hear you. Just yell as much as you want.
Louder, please. No, it's okay. We'll
release the rage.
Rawr! Don't release the Eldrazi though. Keep them locked up.
Right.
So we saw we were going back to Zendikar, and we were very happy about that. And we've learned a fair bit through packs and through different articles about what's happening on Zendikar. So as a flash forward and summary for you, I mean, there's a bunch of different stuff that happens as well. When we come into the story, we're following the storyline of Gideon, Nissa. And we haven't really learned so much about Chandra yet. If we have, I just haven't read the story. Sorry. Gideon has adopted Zendikar as his home. That's why he was in the original one, and he was fighting the Eldrazi. He appeared in the Return to Ravnica block looking for help. He was fighting along with the Boros. And basically, he became Batman. He was fighting on Ravnica with the Boros at night, and then with the Zendikarians, or Zendikari, during the day fighting Eldrazi. And he did that for, I want to say, like a week, 2 weeks without sleep, until finally he went back to Ravnica and fell asleep on the doorstep of the Guild Pact, who was Jace, the single most powerful person on Ravnica, looking for help. And long story short, Gideon brings Jace to Zendikar, and they go to a place called Seagate. I think that's what it is. There's a more longer name for it, but Seagate, which was a thriving, like a city built on top of a massive dam with a giant lighthouse. There's oracles and whatnot and this sort of thing. But when he gets there, it was under attack when he left, and when he comes back, it's been massacred. The Eldrazi have killed everyone and tainted, if not, and corrupted everything that's there. So he takes Jace and he has to go find survivors, and he does some pretty awesome combat. I love Gideon. Gideon is so cool. Gideon is like if you take the Republic Commandos, the Mandalorian in nature, combine it with samurai, Vikings, the Spartans, old Greek Spartans. That's kind of the feeling you get of this honorable warrior, which
that's
is
cool. Yeah.
Which is cool because he's a white planeswalker, right. And he uses Hyromancy, so if something would hit him, like a golden matrix appears, kind of like a shield in like Star Wars or something.
That's pretty cool.
And then he uses it to like bind things with golden chains, and it's reaction magic.
Yeah.
Very cool. Gets stronger with others. But that's where we left off. They find the refugees. Well, Nyssa is trying. She's an animist. She is fighting with what do you call it? The world, I think. Yeah, Nyssa is fighting with the world. She's an animist. She wakes up the world and animates the ground. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. Summons elementals.
Right.
And she's bonded with the spirit of Zendikar itself and is fighting Eldrazi. Well, stuff happens. And that's where we are in the story. Okay. As far as the Eldrazi goes, we know that Emrakul and Kozilek are... We don't know where they are. We've been told that they left. Mm. Ulamog is still there. And he's eating quite a lot. He's quite hungry. So, any questions before we move on to the cards?
No, not really. Let's go ahead. Okay. Dive right in.
All right. So, we'll start with the Blight Hoarder. And I have it on my tablet. We're just sitting here. So, if you would be so kind as to look at the art, describe it a little bit, and that's just as far as it goes.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
But he tried to tap on it to bring it larger. So describe the art a little bit and then just give us a readout of the card.
Oh, this desk is freaking me out.
Yeah, our desk in here is a little weird. It's like not attached to the rest of the desk.
That's kind of scary. So the first one I'm looking at here is Blight Herder.
Herder.
It is a creature with 4/5. It's an Eldrazi processor.
Ooh.
So what I'm looking at here,
How much is it?
It's 5 mana cost.
And is it rare? Yeah, it's a rare.
Yeah, it's rare.
Anyways.
And then picture, it's just an Eldrazi kind of running around, and it looks like there's a couple other Eldrazi running underneath it, and it's making a rar face. It's pretty cool, though.
Is that a technical term, rar face?
It's a technical term, yeah. I mean, I don't want to bore you with all the technical terms, but it's
highly scientific, rar face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the text says, when you cast Blight Herder, you may put 2 cards your opponents own from exile into their owner's graveyards. If you do, put 3 1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature tokens onto the battlefield. They have, quote, sacrifice this creature, add 1 to your mana pool, close quote. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, is there any flavor text?
No flavor text.
Okay, so what this does is... you'll see, but I'll just tell you right now. The Eldrazi have a new mechanic called Ingest that deals with exile. Exile is this zone far off where you can't interact with it. Like the graveyard, you can bring back a zombie.
Right, yeah.
Exile is gone.
You don't touch it. It's gone.
Forever. Can't touch this.
Yep.
Ba-da-da. Okay. but Eldrazi, they eat existence, and it goes into exile. Mm-hmm. So what Ingest is when it deals damage to a player, exile the top cards of their library, depending on the specifics of Ingest. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but we'll read them. And so it's like it's eating their mind. That's what
right,
it is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what this guy does is he allows you to take those, regurgitate them into the graveyard, and essentially like have Eldrazi spawn from their corpses, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And what is it? It's a
five for a four or five.
That's not bad either.
Not bad.
Limited.
Yeah.
So it's as a rare. What do you think of it as like a limited card?
Well, I think it's pretty cool. I like the fact that, like you said, you can take, you know, your opponent's cards and
right.
kind of put them back in the graveyard and regurgitate your own sort of thing. The tokens that it brings out.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. I mean, because not only does that get rid of their card, put it in the graveyard, but you also, like, get protection and defense against, like, with your tokens and right. everything.
And they can sack for mana, which gets you more.
Exactly.
One note, in case that was confusing at home for anybody. The herder does not exile any cards. They have to be there already. But a lot of other Eldrazi stuff does so. So let's take a look at... just the rest of, like, a beefy Eldrazi stuff. So please read the next one.
Okay, just right there. So the next one is Breaker of Armies. It is an 8 cost of any color. It's a creature card, Eldrazi. The text says, all creatures able to block Breaker of Armies do so. And it is a 10-8.
So it's colorless. That just adds to the alien feel of the Eldrazi. And the art is all... purples and blues and tentacles and very
right,
alien.
Yeah, it's almost, I'm trying to think of a way to describe this. I mean,
it's like you take the Zerg and you add in more blues and purples.
Right,
and,
yeah, that's actually a pretty accurate way to describe
right,
it's almost got like what looks like a Cthulhu head on it. And
right.
I mean, if anyone knows what that is.
I mean, if you know what Zerg are from StarCraft.
Yeah, exactly. And then the flavor text says, there are some who have lost everyone and everything. They actively seek out the Eldrazi, eager for the smallest measure of vengeance. That was said by Munda, ambush leader.
Yeah, the Zendikar people are kind of on the back foot. They kind of can't win against these things. As for as many as they kill, there are 100 more Eldrazi.
Right.
So, and they're losing everything. Entire mountain ranges, entire continents have been swallowed up by the Eldrazi. So, and it's a 10-8 for 8.
Yeah.
You're not, that's, wow.
Yeah.
And that's uncommon, so you're going to see that. What do you think about that as a limited card?
Oh, I like it, because I've always been a fan of, like, the big heavy hitter cards, because, I mean, one of the decks that I had when I was, like, actively playing was a mono, well, I don't want to say mono green, because it wasn't entirely green. There were, I mean, there were a little bit of artifacts in there. I had, like, a splash of red in it.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly it was, like, I'd use the red for, like, little creatures, like, one drops and everything for early game defense, and then it was mana ramp. Like,
mm-hmm.
I had, like, a bunch of cards in there that were mana ramp. I can't even think of specific names right now.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, Elvish Mystic, that was one.
Yep.
Yeah.
The
and then I would get, like, these giant cards. Like, I'd get Phyto Titan, I'd
uh-huh.
get, like, Colonian Twin Grove, and then my favorite, actually, was I had four... Colossus, Colossi, plural of Colossus, whatever that
Colossi,
is, of Akros.
Colossi of Akros.
Yeah, and so what that is, I mean, it's a 10-10. I don't remember the mana drop for it. I think it might be, like, 8 or something.
I think so.
But yeah, and then it's, what's the name of it? I can't remember what the mechanic is called, but basically you pay 10 mana, and it doubles in size and becomes indestructible.
Monstrous.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then it takes Defender off as well, so you've got this 20-20 heavy hitter that's pretty much unstoppable, and it's got Trample, too. And so, like, I've always been a really big fan of, like, big hitters like that, and so something with 10-8 like that, and all creatures able to block this guy have to. So, I mean, if you've got this really pesky card that you just can't get rid of any other way, you put that down, you're just like, boom, 10, what do you want?
Yep. In a limited format for original Zendikar, it was very much like a battleship format. You would sit there. Original Zendikar had a lot of defenders. That was the part of the theme of Rise of the Eldrazi, defenders, because
mm-hmm.
the people were defending against the Eldrazi.
Right, yeah.
So you would sit back behind these stuff and just build up and build up until someone dropped an Eldrazi or had a huge enough creature to be able to attack. And that is a huge enough creature.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I mean, just look at the size in the picture. It's huge.
I mean, you got tiny, tiny little guys and... I don't think they're scale birds, but it
yeah.
definitely gives a sense of monstrousness
yeah,
and power. It's very
yeah.
thick muscled thing.
Right.
So let's move on to the next one.
All right, so the next one is, let me get this a little closer to my head, Eldrazi Devastator. It's an 8-drop colorless. It's a creature card, Eldrazi. So All it is Trample, but it's 8-9. So, again, something that I would really very much be into.
And that's a common for 8 for an 8-9 Trample. This is just efficient creatures.
Seriously.
I mean, there's another podcast, Limited Resources. If you want to get better at limited, definitely listen to them more regularly so than us. Still listen to us, though. I mean, we're kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll bring Will back if you listen to us. He's fun.
Back to popular demand.
Oh, yes.
We'll see.
The one person out there listening.
Yeah.
They have a system they developed called the vanilla test, where you look at the mana cost, what you're paying, and what you get. So the basic is 2 for a 2/2. That was originally called Grizzly Bear. And that's the vanilla test. It passes the vanilla test. This is 8 for an 8/9. So it's a little bit better than the vanilla test, and you add on trample, so it's really good French vanilla.
Right.
So if it has sort of the basic keyword, it's French vanilla, and then there's all the other flavors of magic.
Look, this is not just like French vanilla, this is like slow churn French vanilla.
Like the nice, creamy, good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, it's pretty cool that it's an 8/9, but on top of that, you get trample.
I mean, it's really good. It is a common, it's an 8-drop, yes, but an 8-drop colorless. This is going to be everywhere.
Exactly.
At least in limited, I hope. So let's take a look at another one that is also not so much on the vanilla test, but also pretty good. Would you give that a read? All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and try to pronounce this. It's going to be Kozilek's Channeler.
Yes, that was a notification. Let's not look at that. Sorry, I will edit that out too.
All right, so this is a 5-drop colorless. It's a creature Eldrazi. So the card is tap this card, add 2 to your mana pool, and it's a 4/4.
On the vanilla test, on the vanilla test, 5/4/4/4, kind of subpar, but it's pretty good because it's 4 and 4.
Right.
But tap to add 2. So if you're already at 5, drop this turn 5, turn 6 play a land, so you're going to have 8 to be able to cast the Eldrazi Devastator on turn 6, 2 turns early.
Yeah.
And his color is, I like this guy. I really do. And he's a common as well, so you'll see him around and about.
I mean, if I was still playing, that would be a really big combo in my deck. Like, so, I would love to have
and
those
what
together.
And from what you said about how you like to play, you would love the Eldrazi. Just, get little Eldrazi spawn, little Eldrazi spawn, tax time, get a bunch of mana, giant Eldrazi.
Yeah.
And, it seems like something you'd like. I'm going to go ahead and read the next one, just so you're not reading them all.
Right, that's fine.
How does this sound? Oblivion Seer. 6 mana, colorless, for a 5/8.
Ooh.
Creature Eldrazi, and it's a mythic.
Nice.
So 6 for 5/8. Does that sound pretty good?
I mean, it's not ideal, but it's okay.
Right. Oblivion Sower. When you cast Oblivion Sower, cast. Target opponent exiles the top 4 cards of their library. I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
But there's more.
Ooh.
Then you may put any number of land cards that player owns from exile onto the battlefield under your control.
Oh, man.
Not exiled with him, just in exile, if anything.
Right,
so if you use any other effects to put cards from their library into exile, or if you exile their land somehow, you can snag those.
Oh, man.
And the flavor text is, the Eldrazi hunger without limit and consume without pause.
It fits, yeah.
It's very, very cool. Take a look at that art.
Very fitting.
This guy was one of the spoiler previews for the Eldrazi versus Zendikar dual decks, which those are pretty cool when they came out, and it was with the first new Eldrazi we saw and gave us the information about what the Eldrazi were going to be like in this new set.
Yeah, I really like the art on this. It's, like, very insect-like. I mean, this guy looks like... He almost looks like a pink praying mantis with, like, some tentacles for feet. Like, you can see, like, these little pincers here.
Right,
he's got, like, some insect-like arms, and the face is, like, some antennas coming out of it. It's pretty cool.
And he's still got that pink and purple alien color scheme.
Right.
That's going on there. Yep. So that's a mythic. That's the first thing we saw.
Right, yeah.
So they're definitely going to be messing around with exile, and they're definitely going to be well-costed, 6 for 5/8.
Right.
So we're going to go on to Titan's Presence. 3 colorless for an instant at uncommon. How about this? As an additional cost to cast Titan's Presence, reveal a colorless creature card from your hand. Okay, makes it a little iffy. You have to have other colorless stuff.
Right.
Which could be artifacts, it could be other things.
Well, I mean, Eldrazi so far.
And Eldrazi, exactly.
Yeah, so if you want to do an Eldrazi deck, that'd be awesome.
So say, hey buddy, look at my Oblivion Sower. It's coming for you next.
Yeah, seriously.
But exile target creature if its power is less than or equal to the revealed card's power.
Ooh,
so, okay. Flavor-wise, and this matches with the art that you'll see, mm-hmm. It's this guy goes up and he sees Ulamog, who is very, very strong. We'll read his card. His card is up next, actually. He sees Ulamog, and he just can't comprehend it, and he just turns to dust. And that's kind of what's happening on the card here. There's this Zendikar guy standing on the corner of a Hedron that's floating in the air, and all you can see, and he looks tiny. He looks very, very scale, and he's turning to dust. And you can see just like a quarter of the head of Emrakul in the background. So like you see what's coming, and you just die.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do a little bit of an obscure reference here, but think the third X-Men movie when Wolverine is like going up to kill Jean Grey, and you can just see like flakes of him coming off and like disappearing into oblivion.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what this card looks like.
He's getting exiled.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, I will read Ulamog, one of the Titans, to you piece by piece.
Okay.
Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger. Thoughts?
Pretty badass name. I like it.
Right. Here's his cost. He is 10 colorless.
All right.
For a legendary creature, Eldrazi. Mythic.
Yeah.
He is a 10-10.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to read his flavor text first. A force so voracious as time itself.
Ooh, I like it.
Big words, yeah. But it's very cool. It makes me think of the Hobbit, the riddles in the dark. What eats everything away? Time.
Right.
Okay. When you cast Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger, exile two target permanents. Indestructible.
Oh, man.
Whenever Ulamog attacks, defending player exiles the top 20 cards of his or her library.
Oh, man.
His draw just dropped. So, yeah, you're going to have a bad time.
Oh, man. If that gets on the board, you got to finish your game right then.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
take a look at that art. He's absolutely huge.
Wow.
Oh, Ulamog. I love the size and the power and the artistic skill that went into showing these alien monstrosities and just the sheer... I don't even know how... I'm at a loss for words.
I mean, really, I mean, the best way I can describe it is, like, almost something Lovecraftian, just, like, so beyond comprehension in size and, like, just pure alienness. It's just, like, nothing that you see in nature.
Right. So, from a limited perspective, because that's... If that ever makes playing standard, it's 10, so it's not too far out there, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, for limited, as a mythic bomb...
Oh, man. Yeah, that's something that I don't know if I would have the tactical know-how to make that fit and incorporate it well into a deck, but that's something I'd like to be able to do.
Well, it's 10 colorless, so it fits in any deck.
It's true, yeah.
And you have that ramping Eldrazi from before that adds 2,
mm-hmm.
So you get a couple of those, you get some elves, all of a sudden you've got Ulamog, and limited decks, the minimum size is 40,
right?
And he exiles 20.
Exactly.
So if it's by turn 10, you've hopefully drawn at least 10 cards. So you'll have 10 cards left in the library.
Exactly.
Plus you'll have your other Eldrazi, and he's a 10-10 by himself.
Right. Well, that's assuming you get him out on 10-10. I mean, with like some Elvish Mystics and like that other guy that we saw before, you might even get him out before turn 10.
And Zendikar's thing last time on Zendikar, in the original Zendikar block, they had a lot of land searching. So you could cast a spell, go find a land.
Yeah.
You could... cast another spell, go find a couple of lands, you could change your lands. There was an ability called Landfall. Whenever a land entered the battlefield, something would happen. Hmm. Like there was a creature that got +2/+2. There's stuff now that whenever a land enters the battlefield, you put a 4/4 elemental onto the battlefield.
Cool.
But that enchantment, a Royal of Zendikar or something, it's like 3 and 2 green for an enchantment, and then you have to keep playing lands.
Right.
But that's the Eldrazi. We're going to move on to... that's the colorless Eldrazi, I should say. The Eldrazi are colorless in nature. They all were before. Things are a little different. We're going to get into the colored spells real quick. So, well, not real quick. We're going to get there. We're doing it right now. So, this is Felidar Cub. It's a 1 and a white for a 2/2, so it passes the vanilla test.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Ulamog passes the vanilla test. Good job, buddy. It's hard to do that at higher toughnesses and powers. Gold star for you. You ate the gold star? Well, okay. So you're after class. Fill out our cub. One colorless and a white for a 2/2. He's a creature. He's a cat beast. He's a common. Sacrifice Felidar cub, destroy target enchantment. So it kind of just goes out there and hunts down magic, and it's this this kitty jumping out of what looks like a nest made in the rock face, or perhaps a hedron.
Mm-hmm.
Would you read the flavor text?
Yeah, absolutely. Felidars that make it through their first year of life can easily live to see 100 years more.
Felidars are like the saber-toothed cats of Zendikar. They're the feline race, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's a nice card. Pass the vanilla test, plus you'll be able to get rid of any pesky enchantments. Not that we've seen any, but we've just been through the Eldrazi.
Right.
So there might be stuff. And in Standard and whatnot, I mean, that's an easy way for you can get a dies trigger, it goes to the battlefield from the graveyard, a dies trigger, and kill an enchantment, because there'll still be a few things lingering over from Magic Origins,
right.
But it won't be legal at the same time as Theros, where there was a lot of standard, when there was a lot of enchantment shenanigans going on.
Oh, yeah, lots.
Let's move on to our Planeswalker. Well, not my favorite Planeswalker, but what's your favorite Planeswalker? I should have asked.
It's
a hard question.
It is. But kind of a cop-out, but I gotta say, I like Jace.
People like Jace. It's cool.
I know, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, give me, trouble for it. Oh, you just like it because everyone else likes it. Yeah, you're not wrong, but at the same time, he's a pretty good card.
Yeah, good card and characters. I mean, Blue. Most players in Magic identify with blue.
Right.
But I really like Gideon. And my other Planeswalker, my favorite Planeswalker, is also white, but he's also blue. Venser. I've got a rant about Venser. I need to give him one of these shows because technically he's dead right now. I say technically because I've got a theory about that. But we're not talking about that. Gideon Jura, who I have a pop vinyl figure of. He's a little cute little Gideon Jura.
I like him.
He's hanging out with Thorin Oakenshield. They're battle buddies.
Yeah,
they go kill things.
Yeah.
So, this is Gideon, ally of Zendikar. You want to read that?
Sure. Alright, so we've got +1. Until end of turn, Gideon, ally of Zendikar, becomes a 5/5 human soldier ally creature with indestructible that's still a planeswalker. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to him this turn. So that's a lot of, buts and ifs and...
Right.
But, so...
So, long story short, he stands up and punches you in the face.
Exactly, yeah. It's cool. I like it.
And prevent damage so he doesn't lose loyalty counters and whatnot.
Right.
But he's an ally, too. One of the themes for the Rise of the Eldrazi set back in the day was allies. People come together. And that was whenever an ally entered the battlefield, or a separate ally, they would team up and they would both have an ability that would trigger.
Mm-hmm.
A crazy thing would be to cast Mass Polymorph on 5 things, go find 5 allies, they all hit the same time, tons of stuff happens. It was pretty cool. Ally was a unique team, and a lot of people are really happy that's back, and we'll get into it more as we see a couple of ally cards.
Yeah.
But keep reading his second ability.
Right, so it's 0.
And yeah, right. He already had his +1, so this is a 0.
Right, yeah. So it's put a 2/2 white knight ally creature token onto the battlefield. So that's pretty cool.
So already he protects himself. +1, he'll punch you. +1, punch you in the face. 0.
I mean, just
he makes a creature
for free.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's recap what makes a good planeswalker. The cost has to be right. Did you read his cost?
No, I don't think we did.
I don't think I read his cost either.
2 colorless, 2 white.
So 4. 4 is actually the magic number for planeswalkers. The original Garrick was 2 and 2 green, and he untapped lands as a plus, made a beast as a minus, and then did an overrun, which was give all your things +3/+3 and trample, as his ultimate, or his limit break, so to speak. But there have been other planeswalkers who they do a lot of cool stuff, but they can't protect themselves. They can't stop the enemy from getting them. Gideon does that by punching him in the face, and he does it for free. By making a 4/4, was that a 4/4?
Yeah.
It is a 4/4. I love this guy so far. I so love Gideon. So +1, punch him in the face. 0, get a 4/4 ally, which will trigger other stuff.
Sorry, it's 2/2.
2/2?
My bad.
Oh, okay.
I just looked 2/2.
Sorry. Okay.
Still, big deal.
2/2. I mean, that's bigger than a 1/1, and as they add up, and they're allies, and all Gideon, okay. Okay, so what's the downside? Because they always have a minus for their ultimate limiter. So what's this quote-unquote downside?
All right, so the -4 is you get an emblem with creatures you control get +1/+1.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh,
Yeah.
What is it, minus four?
Yeah, minus four.
So you can do plus one. How much loyalty does it come in with?
Four.
Four. So you can drop him and just get a permanent thing that's in the command zone, and that's what an emblem is.
Right,
it sits somewhere off. It can never be interacted with, and it just has a static effect. So you can drop him, and everything has plus one forever. Or you drop him, punch him in the face, then get the emblem, and then next turn punch him in the face again. Mm-hmm. The emblem is nice. It's a nice way, okay, next turn I can't stop it. I'll make my stuff stronger permanently.
Right.
But getting a 2-2 every single turn with ally triggers and Gideon himself being an ally and punching you in the face, I love Gideon. I really, really like it. It fits him so well. His origin story, which I need to link you to read because it's really good.
Right, you do, yeah.
And his interactions with, mostly with killing Eldrazi, but and his personality, his character development is so... I'm sorry, this is a rant. Will, do you have a rant?
Oh, not really.
Okay.
I will say the minus four is a little bit disappointing. I mean, because, it's not bad,
right,
per se. It's just, for something minus four, when he starts with four, I would want something a little bit more motivating to use.
Right.
Because plus one, it's nothing to, turn your nose at, but they could definitely do better than plus one.
Right, and it's themed as its ultimate or its limit break, where the planeswalker gives it all they got before they have to go leave or get fed up. But, I mean, he's still there. His plus one is zero on nothing to stick a stick at.
Right.
Excuse me. I don't have to bleep anything there because that was all. I don't even know what came out of my mouth. But
the FCC.
I really, really like Gideon. There's a reason he's mythic. This guy is going to be amazing. The original Gideon, his zero was to make him a creature and he would punch you. And his plus one was to have things attack him that turn. And he was annoying and super powerful. And this guy is on the same theme, but in a different direction, but keeps the same power level.
Right.
I mean, with Jace, you see all this, you see what are there, six versions of Jace now, or something like that?
A lot, yeah.
And they're all different traits of a blue planeswalker and of Jace, but they're all over the place, and none of them are really all that strong. But this, Gideon, and the original are on, I don't know if they're on par, because we haven't seen play with him, but he is, I think it is very, very strong.
Right.
And zero protect himself, and I don't know. What do you think? I've talked enough.
Well, I mean, you said pretty much everything that I think. I mean, really, my only beef with this card is the minus four, and even then, that's not really anything that I'm necessarily disappointed with.
Right.
But it's just something I think could be a little bit better, like maybe a 2-2.
Right.
Rather than plus one.
Or 2-1 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it's definitely not bad. We're not saying it's bad in any capacity, but it could be better.
I mean,
that's just a mentality of ours.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree. I would agree with you as you say that.
Yeah.
It's super good.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
so let's move on to the next one, which is Gideon hitting stuff with his signature weapon. I think it's called a Soral. It's the metal whips coming out of his hand. They're like whip sword blades. So I want to read that.
All right, so the card's name is Gideon's Reproach. It's a 2-drop, 1 colorless, 1 white. It's an instant, and it's Gideon's Reproach deals 4 damage to target attacking or blocking creature.
That seems good.
So that's good.
White does that. It deals when it is attacking or blocking, stuff's going on, it reacts.
It's very reactive color. Yeah.
And in his origin story, it was revealed that Gideon uses Hieromancy, H-E-I or Romancy, something like that.
Right.
And it's reactive magic. When your opponent does something, you can react. Kind of like if you guys know Avatar The Last Airbender, the airbenders are very much dodging and getting out of the way and waiting until you'd overextend to use a single touch to send you over a cliff. Kind of like the Jess guy from the last set, but this one is much more less grace and more fist to the face. That rhymed. But
yeah, it works.
So it's definitely on theme with White. It's on theme with Gideon and his stuff. Is there flavor text? I can't
there is, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's suddenly Gideon was there with us, clearing the way so that we could escape. The War Diaries.
Ooh. And the War Diaries are a thing from original Zendikar 2 of just stuff that happens within this whole Eldrazi conflict. And I think this is a scene from one of the stories that features Gideon. He planeswalks back, finds the refugees, and goes ham on the Eldrazi attacking them. And, Oh, I just need. I can't explain his combat. I've written examples of his own combat, and there's combat in the Uncharted Realms short stories that they released, but it's very, very good. So we have the allies in last Zendikar block, and like I said, they did stuff when it happened. So this, hang on, that is my phone. We will be right back. Sorry. Okay, we're back. That was some stuff I had to take care of. The ringtone, if I don't know if you heard it, it was an 8-bit version of the Doctor Who theme.
It's pretty great.
So thanks. But yeah, we were talking about allies. This is a rare. It is the hero of Gomofada. GOMA FADA. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. There's probably a pronunciation guide somewhere.
Right.
But hero of Gomofada. Gomofada, fada, fada. Hello, Mara. Hello, Fada.
I am your Fada.
I am your Fada. Now I want an altar of this where you'll see on the art, and it'll be Vader pointing like a lightsaber or something.
Right.
It's a 4 and a white for a 4/5. So okay. 5/4/5. Kind of lacking on power, but I mean, as you get the higher mana cost, that happens, right? Mm-hmm. It's a creature, human, knight, ally.
Ooh, okay.
I've noticed a few knights, so maybe knights are kind of a sub theme. I hope so. Knights are kind of cool.
Knights are cool.
But it's an ally. That's the key. That's a rare. So, it has Rally. And Rally is a keyword that they made for the ally ability. Basically, what it says is whenever a hero of Gomofada or another ally enters the battlefield under your control, X happens. Or whenever this name ally or another ally enters, X happens.
Right.
So they just keyworded that. So whenever a hero of Gomofada or another ally enters the battlefield under your control, creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. So turn 5, drop him, things are indestructible, swing.
And what rarity is he?
Rare.
Okay.
They seek to break us. Let us show them our strength.
Oh.
And I'm showing him this. It's this guy on top of a Felidar, which we saw a cub just a second ago, but on top of a full-grown Felidar. It's kind of like a saber-toothed tiger mixed with a modern-day tiger. And he's riding it, and he's got a large spear, and there's an army behind him. And it's pretty cool. Heralding back to both the... there was a level-up creature. A level-up was an ability that... was in Rise of the Eldrazi, you would pay mana and put a level counter, so as they learned and grew stronger, they had different abilities, different power and toughness, just as people like learning and realizing, oh crap, we gotta learn to fight to survive against the Eldrazi. There was a card, I can't remember what it does, but it's the same guy, same style, guy on top of a Felidar, a big cat riding thingy with a big spear, and he pumped up all your other creatures as you leveled him up. So I think that this is that card. I will look it up and insert myself here. Hello, Future Austin here. I found the name of the card, and it was the Kabira Vindicator from Rise of Eldrazi. And I now return you to your previously recorded episode of Cardstock. Bye. And that was me telling you what the name of the card was, and a little comparison. But I think that's that same guy. He's just kind of grown up over time. But indestructible, that's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And then, I mean, excellent flavor comes in and says, all right, guys, let's go get him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to put it in layman's terms. But, yeah, I liked it. It's really cool.
Yeah. The next one is a Lantern Scout. 2 and a white for a creature human scout ally, key.
Yeah, key.
Another rare. He's a 2 and a white for a 3/2. Okay, not bad. A little on the swingy side with that 3 power. But he has Rally as well. Whenever Lantern Scout or another ally enters the battlefield under your control, creatures you control gain lifelink until end of turn. So if you have the Lantern Scout out and you drop the Hero of Gomofada, your creatures both have lifelink and are indestructible. And you just swing in and you gain 7 life off of just these 2 creatures. Allies are pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, they are.
Your thoughts so far, Mr. Will?
Ally's pretty cool. I like it a lot. Kind of reminds me of Heroic back in... What was that? Was that...
Theros.
Yeah, I was thinking it was either Theros or War of the Gods, but it was Theros.
The creature rising to the challenge and fighting. And this one is, okay, I got my buddy with me, we're going to go fighting.
Exactly.
And
buddy system.
And if you look in the arc, there's in the forefront on the left side of the frame picture, there's this scout with a lantern. It's dark, and the lantern is casting a light against the scout. But in the background, you can see two other guys going with him, and they're out scouting, and they're sticking together. They're allies. Yeah.
Buddy system.
Exactly. The buddy system.
Yeah.
So what's the next card? I looked through some of these. I haven't gone through the gallery myself trying to... I looked enough to be able to direct a conversation, but I haven't gone too much.
Right, yeah.
So read me the next one.
So the next card is Retreat to Emeria. Is that how it's pronounced?
Emeria,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. So this is an enchantment. It's a 4-drop, 3 and a white.
Okay.
So what we've got is Landfall, which is whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, choose one of the following. And the two options are put a 1/1 white core ally creature token onto the battlefield, or creatures you control get 1/1 until end of turn.
Huh. It was what, 3 and a white for an enchantment?
3 and a white for an enchantment.
What's the rarity?
It's uncommon.
Uncommon. Okay. So I think there's a cycle of these. A cycle is a, I don't know if you know the term, but if there's a card in each color built around a certain theme. I think there's a theme for enchantments that do stuff, like options of stuff, when a land enters the battlefield.
Right, yeah.
Was it keyworded with landfall?
Yes.
Ooh, so landfall is back. I forgot about that. It's a little late hour here, so to speak. But
yeah.
I mean, a 1/1 for every land you play is not bad. And no. What was it? Gain +1/+1 until end of turn?
Until end of turn, yeah.
That can be swingy for combat.
Some crunch time battles. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, on its own, it's a card that does nothing.
Right.
You have to play a land, and you have to take up either your fourth turn or such, depending on ramp and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because it is Zendikar, so it's going to be. Zendikar is going to be ramp.
Mm-hmm. But. Personally, I don't know if I would use this in a deck just because the cost is a little bit high for, you know, being an enchantment, not doing anything by itself.
Right.
And so I don't know if I'd want to waste a turn
putting
that down. That being said, it does have pretty good payoff. I mean, still not enough for me to want to put it in a deck, but it's definitely not a bad card, and it really could shine in, like, depending on what your style of playing is and everything.
If you have, like, the fetch lands and Evolving Wilds, so you play Evolving Wilds, you get a land drop, you tap stack it, go get another land, that's another land drop.
Right.
And stuff like that happened all the time back in old Zendikar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's potential for good stuff here. I don't know if...
It really just depends on the playing style.
Right. If it's going to be a fast format... Which, I don't know, old Zendikar again was very battleship, very build up, and it could come in handy if games went to turn 11,
right?
And you drop this turn 4, you've got, what, 7 turns of land of 7-1-1 core. So it's kind of paid for itself there, but
right.
until we know what the format, at least limited, is like, I don't see it making an impact in standard, no. But, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, like I said, it really just does depend on the type of playing style that the person will be using. I mean, personally, my playing style would not be a very good idea. I mean, not just because it's not really the colors I use, but also because, I mean, it doesn't really do anything by itself. It's a little bit of a high cost, and it doesn't really have enough of a payoff for the cost for me and everything, but that's just my playing style.
Right. Yeah. And then that's both for just the decks you like to play. And same with me.
Exactly.
It's very dirtily, I think, is a good way to phrase it. Just dirtle, you get a 1/1, and
then all of a sudden, 10/10!
Yeah. Hello, Ulamog, nice to see you.
Yeah, it's good.
But in a sealed or unlimited environment, I'm not going to take it high pick in a booster draft.
Right.
And it would take some crazy shenanigans, plus enchantment interaction for me to put this in a sealed deck, too.
Right.
So, yeah. Retreat to Emeria, is that what it's
right,
called?
Right, yes, Retreat
awesome.
To Emeria.
I think I see we have one more white card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Sheer Drop. It's a 3-drop, 2 and a white. It's a sorcery, and what it does is destroy target tapped creature. And we've also got Awaken 3, so that's a 6 cost, 5 and a white. And it says if you cast this spell for 6, also put 3 1/1 counters on target land you control, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. But it's still a land.
Huh. This was actually one of the first previews we got. I think this was, it was in the Zendikar versus Eldrazi deck, on the Zendikar side. It's the land, it's like this guy's walking along, he trips, and the land just goes, that's it, people have tripped over me enough, I'm out, and it stands up and it walks away. because that sort of stuff happened all the time in old Zendikar. So it's right on theme. It's on theme with white. 3 and a white to destroy a tapped creature. Is it an instant?
It's a sorcery.
It's a sorcery. So, I mean, after they attack you, you can kill it. But if they kill you on the attack, you can't really do
exactly,
it. It's
yeah.
sorcery. But what about that awakening cost for 5?
For 6, yeah.
For 6, yeah.
5 and a white.
5 and a white, yeah. So 6.
So 6.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, because you really have to have a lot of mana for this to be effective.
So
this is either very late game or goes with white mana ramp decks, because...
Right, I mean, white having mana ramp is a little off.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, because this, not only is it originally a 3 cost to destroy a tapped creature as a sorcery, but then also, like, let's say that you have one creature left and that your opponent kills that creature and you're using that tapped opportunity to kill it after he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to need to pay 6 to get a 0/0 elemental back
right.
on the field.
So you can pay 3 to destroy it, or you can make double the price, 6 to destroy it, and get a 3/3. The 6 probably will take up your turn, because it's a sorcery. It'll take up your options for that turn,
right.
So you won't be able to play out anything else. I mean, that kind of makes up for it as you get a 3/3, and 3 for a 3/3, that passes a vanilla test.
Yeah.
It's kind of good, but mm-hmm. it's one of your lands, so if it dies, the land dies, and it goes to the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
But you destroy a creature, it's... I don't know. If it was a card that said three and two white, what is it? 5 and a white?
Yeah,
5 and a white for a 3/3 when it enters the battlefield, destroy target tapped creature. Okay, that might be playable.
Maybe
late game for a limited deck, you would pick up like one copy
right.
as like a okay. Drop that, kill that thing, and you still have a fairly efficient body. It's a,
exactly,
it's a removal
yeah.
spell attached
right.
to an official body. But is 6 worth it? I mean,
exactly, that's the thing.
I mean, we see that it's in a direct correlation to the cost of the original spell being 3, 2 and a white to kill something, and it doubles it, but I don't know. Again, we don't know
right.
anything about the format. We haven't played with it, at least not that we can tell you, but I don't know. We're going to have to... That was the Mountain Dew talking again. Again, not going to edit that out. But I'm going to have to wait and see. And you are coming with me to at least a draft once
okay,
in a while.
That's fine, yeah.
Right.
So should we move on to blue?
Let's move on to blue.
Moving
okay.
on to blue.
Coastal Discovery. 3 and a blue for a sorcery that at uncommon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Draw 2 cards.
Okay.
Not bad, right?
Not bad.
Awaken 4 for 5 and a blue. If you cast a spell for 5 and a blue, you put 4 +1/+1 counters on a land. Target land you control becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. Oh, that's funny. So if I'm imagining like the awaken thing. Like for the last one, it's a white card, so it's a plains that stands up and walks off. But this I didn't notice that it said target land.
Yeah.
And it would make sense like an island. The mountain walks up and walks off.
Right.
But Coastal Discovery, that's very much themed towards water.
Right.
So if you targeted a mountain with Coastal Discovery, it's like the mountain got wet, and fire and water, it doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
Slightly humorous.
Yeah.
So what do you think? 3 and a blue for drawing 2 cards.
Mm.
That's...
Again, I think it goes with playing styles. I mean, because I was never really into the whole drawing cards thing. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't really have a problem getting cards into my hand. I mean, because most of the time I had a... Not necessarily a full hand, but I never really ran out of cards.
Right.
Because I'd always have, like, a mana ramp card or a mana card or
yeah.
whatever, what have you. And
that comes with playing green and red and
exactly,
white and whatever
yeah.
you
so
want.
I never really had a problem running out of cards. But, I mean, with blue, you've got a lot of instants and a lot of, like, undoing spells and stuff like that. And so you run out of cards faster. So
right.
I think for the playing style, it's pretty good.
Okay.
I mean...
consider this, though. The default, a go-to spell for drawing cards, or at least 2 cards, is called Divination, and it's
right.
2 and a blue for
mm-hmm.
2 cards. So this is a worse Divination, because it's 3 and a blue.
Yeah.
So, okay, there's an extra cost. But that extra cost comes at the prize, or the upkeep, so to speak,
right.
of having the Awaken. So, 6, kind of like the other one, 6 mm-hmm. for a 4/4 that draws you two cards when it enters the battlefield.
Right.
Think about it like that.
And I think kind of what they were going for with the higher cost of divination was kind of the motivation to use the Awakened. So like, oh, you don't want to pay an extra for a divination? Well, why don't you use the Awakened then?
And if we don't have divination in the set, which we probably won't because we had it in Theros, given Theros is rotating out, I don't know if it was in Origins, I can't remember. But, I mean, this could be just the next go-to spell, and every once in a while, at the end of a long, grindy game, you could get a 4-4 out of it, too. But, given that, 6 for a 4-4 that draws you two cards, I don't know. I personally, I'm like right. you. I like my creatures cheap and efficient.
Exactly.
But, yeah. I mean, back in the day, 10 years ago, I think this would be a really good creature.
Yeah.
But, again, just personally, I have a sour disposition towards it because I like my stuff fast and beaten in the face.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And efficient as in cost, I mean.
Very goblin-esque.
So, I mean, so we'll have to see how the Awaken mechanic goes. I love it. It's so on theme.
Yeah, the Awaken.
Very good.
It's pretty cool. I'm a fan.
But we'll see. Coastal Discovery, pretty cool. And it's the art is the water retreating back from like a bay or like a beach, the water retreating back, and there's this seashell conch spear style thing, or like a dagger, just sitting in where the water has retreated from.
Yeah, it looks like it might be a staff even.
Yeah, I think that's a callback to some other card. I can't remember though.
Probably.
It's been a while.
That's how it goes with Magic.
Okay, we have our next Eldrazi.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
This is the Drowner of Hope.
Ooh.
Now, keep in mind that up to this point, all the Eldrazi have been colorless, and we are in blue. How does this work, you ask? Well, it is five and a blue, excuse me, five and a blue, so 6 for a 5/5. But Austin, Eldrazi aren't colors. I just said wait. It has devoid, a mechanic, or a keyword, etc., that says this card has no color. So even though you need blue to cast it, it has no color. It is still colorless, it is still gone. It just adds another layer of theme, I think, the cards, and how you can use only some Eldrazi in some decks, etc. So let's look at it. 6 for a 5/5 in blue. Okay, that happens. You get Leviathans and Octopuses. And
right.
Octopi, sorry.
Yeah.
And Krakens that are huge on the tail end of blue. 6 for 5/5. Okay, right?
Yeah.
And there's more. But wait, there's more.
Oh.
It's a creature Eldrazi, and that's rare, so you know there's going to be more.
Right.
It says, when Drowner of Hope enters the battlefield, put 2/1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature tokens onto the battlefield. Quick side note, in old Eldrazi, they were called Spawn, and they were 0/1. So they've kind of upgraded a little bit, and they're 1/1s and can be relevant. And they have, sacrifice this creature and add 1 colorless to your mana pool. That's the same as before in old Eldrazi as well. So you drop this guy, and you have 2 mana that you can sacrifice to ramp out Ulamog or something. But there's more.
Oh.
Sacrifice an Eldrazi Scion, tap target creature. So instead of sacrificing it for the mana, which would be triggering the Scion token's ability, you can sacrifice it as the Drowners of Hope. Just little rules thingy there. And you can tap something. So you can like take it and chuck it at something. And then the art is this really, really creepy aquatic style looking Eldrazi that's coming towards a beach. And there's quite a scale there. There are tents on a beach to scale this Eldrazi. It's like a giant whale or a giant shark sneaking up on these guys. Except it's going to crawl out of the water and kill them pretty easily.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
Creepy looking card. I'll say that first.
Definitely. Definitely.
I mean, I like the color listing. The devoid mechanic, that's kind of cool. Just kind of adding to the, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean,
flavor.
The flavor of the game, yeah, exactly. I mean, putting the colorless tokens down, that's always a plus when a card adds tokens. I mean, you get basically
free creatures.
Exactly, yeah.
That's another way to think of it. So it's not 6 for a 5/5, it's 6 for 7/7. Worth of power and toughness.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in blue, that's still... on its own passes it... doesn't pass the vanilla test, but it makes up for the lack of the vanilla test.
Yeah, and then the sacrificing part, I mean, that's... I mean, I shouldn't say that it's always been a part of blue, but it's like it's... I mean, it's been in blue before. It's not anything new to blue players. And,
well, not the sacrifice them. The tapping, I think, is what you meant.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, stacking is kind of Black's thing, but...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, man, I used to have a friend that played, like, Mono Black, and he was the most annoying person on the planet.
Table flip, rage quit.
Yeah, and then he'd splash red in there with Minotaurs, and he'd get even worse.
Oh, boy.
Terrible. It's terrible.
So this sounds like a good blue, like, end game limited draw.
Yeah, if you're a fan of blue, if you like using, like, Kraken decks, or... What's the other one I'm thinking of?
Leviathans or something? Like, or if you just need a blue finisher for your limited deck or your sealed deck, or you just want something Eldrazi to cap off the top of your mana curve.
Yeah, if you just want to add a little Eldrazi flavor into your blue deck.
And it can't go wrong with Eldrazi.
Exactly.
I mean, we have a jingle for that or something.
Yeah, I mean, side note, just kind of separated. Like, you know what I want to see?
What?
I want to see an Eldrazi Sliver fight.
Ooh.
That'd be cool, right?
That'd be interesting, because slivers are awful, and Eldrazi punch you in the face.
Yeah.
So.
It's a question of, like...
Numbers versus power.
Yeah.
But they also have numbers in the spawn, and it's true. The Scions.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, though, like, because, I mean, I'm totally at a loss for words right now.
No,
like,
you're good.
Eldrazi, like, you know, they'd have the power and everything, but the slivers, I mean, they have all the effects to cover everything.
Right.
I mean, so, like, you put one down, like, all slivers are invincible, or all slivers, I mean, exaggerating.
I got you. That's basically what you do when you play slivers. All slivers are invincible.
Right, exactly.
You're not wrong.
But, I mean, the thing you would need to do, like, playing as Eldrazi against sliver, you'd need to get them, like, dead before they can get too much out.
Right.
That's the way, well, I mean... Not even just Eldrazi, I mean, that's the way you beat slivers in general. You just gotta beat them before they get the
shot. They're both
out.
Very much on the same theme. If you let them go too long, you will die.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got three cards left in blue. Two of them are Eldrazi. So we'll see how the blue match up before we head into black. And again, we don't have the full spoiler. That's spoiler season is upon us, I think. Next week, we start getting regular card articles and stuff, because the pre-release is the weekend of the 25th, which also is Comic-Con for Salt Lake Comic-Con 2015.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. I will be going to that. Are you going?
I'm not.
Just cost?
Yeah, it's cost.
Yeah. I bought tickets quite a while ago.
I should have, but I never got around to it.
I mean, like, a Saturday pass is, like, $20-$25.
Yeah.
So, and you can ride with me if you need to, but that's something to talk off.
Yeah. Off. That's neither here nor there.
It was way not here. It was way not there. But do you know what is here? Is the Guardian of Tazim.
Okay.
Three and two blue. Three colors and two blue for a creature Sphinx. It's a rare and it's a 4/5.
Okay.
It says flying. So 5/4/4/5 flying. I mean, that's blue's bread and butter, right?
Right.
I mean,
the Sphinx is no stranger to blue.
Oh, not at all. But it has another ability. It's rare.
Okay.
But wait, there's more.
Always.
Landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under control, tap target creature and opponent controls. If that land is an island, that creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step.
Hmm. Okay.
Drop an island on you, pour some water, you freeze. Yeah. And then you have a 4/5 flyer.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing with blue, is the whole, your creature doesn't untap during its untap step. I mean, it's... something that does happen quite frequently in blue, so it seems to be sticking with, you know,
right.
Blue has done before. I mean, not to say that blue would really ever change, but...
I mean, that's part of its color identity.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, so it's a very...
On-theme card?
Yeah, it's a very true blue.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it was even more true blue, it'd let you draw a card, too.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, and... So 5/4/4/5 flying, good. Repeatable landfall effect of tapping their stuff so you can attack, that's awesome. An island in blue already, even better benefit.
Yeah.
Good, solid card, I think.
Yeah. And I think the two blue and the cost is kind of to accommodate for that. Because, I mean, it is a pretty good card, and they don't want to make it, like, too easy to get, so it's not OP.
Right. You don't want to be able to splash it in a white deck and
exactly.
Have everything.
Right.
You want to push it towards the blue, and that's exactly what the double cost does.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. We have another ability. The Incubator Drone. 3 in a blue for a 2/3 with the Void. It's an Eldrazi drone. It's common. When Incubator Drone enters the battlefield, put a +1 or put a 1/1 Eldrazi colorless Scion creature token onto the battlefield with it has sacrifice creature at what colors for your mana pool. So turn 4 for a 2/3, turn 3 for 4, okay, 2-3, not bad. Mm-hmm. But not good either. Definitely could be hitting the gym a little bit more. But it gives you a 1-1, so it's right. That's a 3-4 worth of power. A little makes up for it, and then it has sack to add more mana to your mana pool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope there's going to be a theme of your Eldrazi get bigger, like an Eldrazi Lord. Okay, and Ulamog is kind of the Eldrazi Lord in and of its own.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not bad at all. That is my computer telling me that the battery is running low. We will get that in a minute. Because we have another Eldrazi to go on. The Mist Intruder. This one has a lot of people excited. 1 and a blue for a 1-2 devoid with flying. Your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah. I like the fact that it's flying because there aren't that many low drop flying cards. I mean, like, anywhere.
I mean, you get a Drake, but that's around more 4 and 5 costs, and then you get the Sphinxes and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, like, you get the point. Like, there's not that many, like, 1 or 2 drop flying creatures, so that in and of itself is pretty cool.
But wait, there's more. And it's a common. Ingest.
Okay.
And this is that mechanic I was talking about.
Yeah.
It says, whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. So, drop turn 2, turn 3, swing, 1 damage, and 1 card gone. That can be used for the other Eldrazi that we've seen.
Right.
This is, there's a card called Stormcrow way back in the day that's way popular just for flavor and some unknown reason to me. It said 1 and a blue for a 1-2 flying bird. And this has that exile at the top of it. This, I think this is better than, what do they call that? The, Mist something Raven? I just said the name in
Stormcrow?
Stormcrow. Yeah. Hey, I'm tired if you cannot tell.
It happens.
At home. Hi, audience, I'm awake. But Mist and I like this tutor. It's a Eldrazi drone flying. I like it quite solid, common. You'll see it in limited. It's good.
Right, yeah.
Thoughts? I mean,
you really summed it up. That's pretty much what I was thinking. I mean, originally, before you said the
Stormcrow.
Ingest.
Yeah. Right? Ingest.
Before you mentioned that, I mean, I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't, like, sold, like, ooh, I want to make a deck with that. But, like, I mean, 2 for a 1-2 flyer, I mean, that's pretty good.
It's a good foot soldier for blue. It's a good filler.
Yeah,
good
I mean, it's a good starter, too. I mean, especially with a deck without reach.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, other flying?
It'll just get there eventually. Just
exactly,
ping.
I mean, and then on top of that, I mean, depending on the deck you have, you can beef it up and make it like a 2-3 flyer or a 3-4 flyer.
And then there's the fact that it's Eldrazi, and this is a very Eldrazi-themed set. And then the Ingest, which helps out everything else.
Exactly.
The flavor text is, the waste spread as quickly as the wind.
Ooh.
Which is cool because it has flying. And in the art, it's flying around some floating islands and rocks. And
yeah.
It has a lot more of like a bony style tentacle. I'm imagining that's for just so it can fly and whatnot.
Right.
But we are on to black. We're going to make our way through these. Read to us the first black spoiler we got.
The first black spoiler we got is Defiant Bloodlord. It's a 7-drop, 5 and 2 black. It's a vampire creature. So, what it is, it's 4-5 for, like I said, 7-drop.
7, so 4-5's for 7. That doesn't sound too good to me. Well, you gotta sell it.
But
what else you got?
There's more. So, flying. Then we also have, whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life.
Ooh.
So it's like reverse, I can't even think of the name of the mechanic now. Lifelink.
Reverse lifelink, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's an Eldrazi. It's not an Eldrazi. I like my Eldrazi. It's a vampire, which is cool for a lot of reasons. Vampires are not native to Zendikar. They're found on a lot of different worlds, but they're not native to Zendikar.
Hmm.
Sorin, one of the planeswalkers who originally helped steal away the Eldrazi, was a vampire. So there's the question of, hey, Thor, did you have a midnight snack when you weren't supposed to?
Yeah.
Got out of hand?
Probably.
So that's kind of cool.
No, he's Thor, and he probably did.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't care either.
Exactly.
I mean, he'll probably just look at you and say, how dare you speak to me?
Exactly.
And drink your blood.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, he wouldn't, because you would be a filthy peasant, and he is Thorin and all that. I mean, 4-5 for 7 flying, okay, but as a rare, and, I mean, reverse lifelink. Is it when it deals damage or whenever you would?
Whenever you gain life.
Oh, so just
target loses that much life.
Wow. So, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and target opponent. Not even target creature. Target opponent.
Right. So, I mean, if you're playing multiplayer and you gain some life and like, hey, Steve, you haven't been touched yet.
Boom.
Lose some life. You're
yeah,
good.
Seriously.
Yeah. And all that. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, especially that would come in handy, like with the pretty beefy life gain cards. Like, mm-hmm. Well, I can't even think of any off the top.
Like a 5/5 with lifelink.
Yeah.
You check wing and you gain 5 life. Hey, lose 5 life.
Yeah, exactly.
To another player or just to the other person. So they took 5 damage, lost 5 life. They're down 10, you're up 5.
Yeah.
Or not even lifelink. Just, okay, I'm going to cast a mediocre spell and gain 5 life.
Yeah, I mean,
or
you don't...
2 life and 3 life.
You don't see very many of these very often, but you do occasionally see the white-black decks. And imagine that. The life gain of white with this card.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, because...
That would be something that I don't know. Because of his high cost, I don't think he's going to see much play in standard, but he's definitely going to be a bit of a limited bomb. So, excuse me, a limited bomb. Not a limited interesting thing to look out for.
Well, and I think because of the target opponent thing,
excuse me,
he might show up in, like, Commander.
Oh, or, Commander.
Or even like two-headed giant, three-headed giant, for example. Yeah.
side note, we have a magic club here at Snow. We played a four-headed giant plane chase match today. Yes, it was as crazy as it sounds. My head hurts. moving on. I didn't even think about EDH or Commander.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, I think because of the target opponent thing, it's not going to be like a huge hit or anything, but I think it'll show up.
And if you have a vampire EDH deck, vampires traditionally have lifelink, and there's a lot of that floating around.
Exactly.
And he just makes that all the better.
Exactly.
So if you're swinging at one guy, and lifelink triggers on the opponent's creatures, you can just outright kill somebody else.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I'm going to take the next one.
Go for it.
So this is Dominator Drone. We have another Eldrazi. And this one's a facehugger. Definitely a facehugger in all terms of the reference.
Yeah.
2 and a black for a 3/2. Common.
Okay.
Okay, that's tendency what we see with black.
Right.
More power, less toughness. Kind of that kamikaze style, kind of.
Yeah,
kinda.
I guess that's the way you could say it, yeah.
It's devoid, of course.
Right.
And has ingest. So when it deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card. But wait, there's more.
Always.
When Dominator Drone enters the battlefield, if you control another colorless creature, each opponent loses 2 life. So if you're playing this blue-black deck, just with things we've seen, if you drop that Mist Intruder on turn 2 and turn 3, you drop the Dominator Drone and swing with the Mist Intruder, they have lost at least a life. They have lost 2 life from the Dominator Drone, taken 1 from the Mist Intruder, and exiled a card. That's not bad. That's a totally feasible series of plays because they are both common.
Yeah.
And I think as we see more and more of the foot soldiers of the Eldrazi, this will be even more crazy. But as a term of within the set, think of Khan's block. What do we have? We have morph creatures, which are colorless.
Right.
We have manifest creatures, which are colorless. And there's a lot of those seen the rounds in top play too. So
that.
Maybe not this guy in particular, because it's only 2 life.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting to see how that colorless relation affects standard and modern going forward.
Yeah.
This one's a fun one. Why don't you take this?
Okay.
And we can talk about it.
All right. So next card is Ruinous Path. It's a 3-drop, 1/2 black. It's a sorcery. And it says, destroy target creature or planeswalker, which is always a nice card. But we've got Awaken 4 for a 7 cost, 5/2 black. And it says, you cast a spell for 7, also put 4 1/1 counters on target land you control and becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land.
Okay. So compared to the other ones, we had a destroy tapped creature in white for 3,
right,
and it's double with 6.
Mm-hmm.
We had a 4 cost, and it became a 3/3 in white. In blue, we had a 4 cost spell that was 6, I think.
Yeah,
6. It was 6, and you got a 4/4. It was draw 2 cards. Very just on theme, as always. This is 3, destroy creature or planeswalker. Okay, that's just going to be a good card in and of itself.
Exactly, yeah.
That's It's a sorcery, so it's going to slow it down a little bit, but it's a good card. It will see standard play.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, if you run Hero's Downfall, which is one black and a black to target creature or planeswalker with nothing else, yeah, you'll see that.
Exactly.
And then the benefit. I mean, this is three for, what's the awakening cost?
Seven.
Three for seven. So it's a bit more than we saw on the white one. Kind of shifting the mana into more into the awakening cost, kind of like the kind of not unlike the blue one. So a 7 for a 4-4 with destroy target creature enchantment straight up.
Mm-hmm.
As a creature with that ability for a 4-4, for 7, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But it's going to see play all on its own. Just for that
destroy target creature planeswalker, yeah. I mean, it's Hero's Downfall with a little added benefit.
It really is.
I mean, not everyone's going to use that benefit, but I mean...
Black decks are not going to not run it.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, for me, I think 7 is a little high.
A little bit.
For a 4-4 with destroy target creature. But
when push comes to shove, if you need a body, a 4-4 is not one to have. I mean, and killing one of the problem things is
black,
good, too.
The thing with black, too, is I mean, they're not really going to be using their mana on better things anyway. I mean, other than, like, Return from Graveyard
right,
and stuff
right.
like that. But, like, for the most part...
the high end. I mean,
for the most part... Black's going to be using mana just for putting stuff down.
Yeah, for killing their stuff and relying on their vampires and stuff, which are already 3-3 and 4-4 and such. So, yeah. I mean, it fits rather well, but for 7, for both those effects, again, we're going to have to see. This awaken mechanic is very cool, but I'm not sold on it just yet.
Right.
So what's next?
All right, so next we have Skitterskin. It's an Eldrazi drone creature for a 4-drop, 3 and a black. So, of course, it's devoid, but we've got, so it's a 4-drop, 3 and a black, for a 4-3, which it seems like an average black card, you know, higher
power than toughness.
Right, exactly. So, what we've got as the side effects of Skitterskin is Skitterskin, say that 5 times fast.
Blah, 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 blah.
So Skitterskin can't block.
Skitterskin. I just wanted to try it. Sorry.
Exactly, I mean,
so can't block.
But we've also got pay 1 and a black for regenerate Skitterskin. Activate this ability only if you control another colorless creature.
So there's that colorless thing playing in there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is uncommon. And So it's very swingy, and if you have more Eldrazi, which is on theme, you'll be able to just keep them alive.
I'm gonna toss a theory out here.
Okay. What you got?
So I think all this colors is really cool. That'd be really cool. I think with these Eldrazi, and based on what we've seen so far, and that is accounting for a pretty large margin of error, just because we haven't really looked at everything, but based on what we've seen.
And nor have we been revealed anything, let alone we have looked at it.
Right, exactly. But based on what we've seen, and based on what we've been talking about tonight, I think some things that we might see are artifact and chromatic decks.
That is true. In Origins, there was a theme of Thopters, 1/1 flying artifact creature tokens.
Right.
You can, blue and red both had a theme of Thopters, where they would make stuff like red, their primary face for it was Chandra's Parents. I don't know what the actual name is, but it's Ma and Pa Nalar is the nickname. And they brought two 1/1 Thopters, and they had an ability where you sacrifice a Thopter and it deals 1 damage or something. So it's like they take their attack drones and they crash them into stuff.
Yeah.
Which is very on theme, very cool for Chandra's Parents, red.
Definitely.
But you take that Thopter stuff and you add in this colorless, that's gonna be highly synergistic.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole mechanic of Devoid.
Right.
You have all these creatures that have like a splash of blue or a splash of red or a splash of black.
To make them on theme for the color.
Yeah.
So they can push it more this way, justifying it with the color.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's that color.
That just kind of goes back to what I was saying about an Eldrazi Sliver fight.
Right.
I mean,
because
Slivers, if you did them right, you could have a really powerful chromatic deck.
With all five colors, I mean, that's what you mean by chromatic.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, I remember there's a card, Sliver Hive Lord.
I pulled one of those.
Yeah, it was a chromatic card. I actually pulled one too, anyway. But it was a chromatic card, and I mean, it did everything for all your Slivers. I mean, I can't remember specifically what it did, because it's been a while.
I think it gave all Slivers you control indestructible.
Right, I think
maybe that was Sliver Overlord, one of the two. But
something like that, yeah.
Sliver
something Lord.
Yeah, because they are all not lords for themselves.
Right, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think
that's kind of following the same theme as that, because you've got, like, all these Eldrazi that have, like, the one blue or the one black or the one red cost, but they're still colorless, and, you know, you get all the benefits of the different colors and everything, but they're all colorless creatures.
Definitely. That's a lot of synergy.
I mean, I'd really like to see a chromatic Eldrazi guest deck.
I can't talk now.
I can't either. Thanks.
Chromatic. I can't even repeat what you said, but it was funny, and I was going to make a joke that was also very funny. We're on to red though.
Okay.
This is Barrage Tyrant. 4 and a red for a rare Eldrazi creature. 4 and a red for a 5/3. Also kind of on theme with red.
Yeah.
Very different.
Definitely more power than those guys.
Definitely Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah.
Not this card in particular, but this is, he has Devoid, so he's colorless, and he has an ability. 2 and a red. Sacrifice another colorless creature. Barrage Tyrant deals damage equal to the sacrificed creature's power to target creature or player. So like I was saying with Mom, Paul, and Nalar, you sacrifice they have to sacrifice doctors. This guy can sacrifice anything and pick it up and hurl it. And that's what he's doing in the art. Take a look. He's picking up another Eldrazi, which is what you would do. You pick up those Scion tokens, and it would deal damage to something.
Yeah.
But this is colorless. So you could pick up that Eldrazi Army Breaker and fling it, and like he's doing, and deal 10 damage to creature or player. So that's creature or player. So end of game, you could drop him and then drop that and immediately just pay 2 and a red and throw it at your opponent's face for 10 damage.
Yes. Yeah,
that's totally feasible. I'm glad these guys are rare just so I don't have to see this more often.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think, I don't know. 4 and a red, again, I think that's kind of costly. But if the entire format is going to be a little bit slower, 5/3 is going to be pretty relevant.
Yeah.
And it's definitely on theme with your theory of colorless synergistic.
Yeah.
Especially a chromatic, a Wooburg, Eldrazi, Force, Army, etc. All right, we have two more cards in red is all we got. I'm just going to blaze through those.
Okay.
Like red does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're funny. Radiant Flames, 2 and a red for a sorcery at rare. Converge. This is a new mechanic as well. Radiant Flames deals X damage to each creature, where X is the number of colors of mana spent to cast Radiant Flames. So with two colors, it can be anything. So max, you can have this deal 3 damage to each creature. So your stuff and theirs.
Right.
That's kind of like a board wipe. But you have to have that multicolor. Mm-hmm. And it would fit well within a Eldrazi multicolor deck.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, just red-black. You deal 2 damage to everything. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. They're definitely pushing the multiple colors. But, did I actually show you the Barrage Tyrant art?
Yeah, you did. I saw that.
Okay, yeah. But Radiant Flames, what do you think? As a rare.
I think it's good that it's rare. Just based on what it does and everything, and, you know, how its scale of power, I think it does need to be a rare.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it again.
I mean, at best it's a board wipe. At worst, it's a clear the tokens, clear their Eldrazi Scion tokens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that alone is a sorcery, right?
Yeah, it's a sorcery. So
Falls under the board wipe.
Right. What this reminds me of is, I'm trying to think of the name. I think it's called Heat Ray.
Heat Ray. That was, I think.
It does pretty much the same thing as.
You might be thinking of Anger of the Gods. That deals 3 damage to each creature, and if they were dealt damage this way and they died, they exile them.
Yeah, I think that was it.
I mean, Heat Ray. I think that's a direct damage stuff. I don't remember. If you know, send us an email at the cardstockpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so the next card we have is Rolling Thunder.
Sorry.
It's X and 2 red.
Okay.
So it's a sorcery.
I don't think I've seen this card. Anyways.
Yeah, so what it does is we've got Rolling Thunder deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures and or players.
Huh. Is there more?
Nope, that's it. Well, we've got the flavor text, but we'll get to that.
We'll get that. We forgot to do flavor text for last two, so we'll go back and do this real quick.
Yeah.
But X damage, X and 2 red. To each creature and each player?
Yeah. Well, the part that gets me is any number of target creatures and or players.
And or players.
Not many cards do that.
And
I mean, I can't even think of any off the top of my head that do have.
Oh, Pharaoh's Block is rotating. there's a card in Theros Block called Battlefield Thermopowers that I've been working with that reduces the cost of everything. So you can target all their creatures, and Battlefield Thermopowers reduces the cost of instant and sorceries you cast by one color for each creature it targets. So a lightning strike targeting a creature instead costs one red instead of one colorless and a red. So this, you could target everything and ping everything and everyone for two red with that guy out. And then you could pump mana into it. But Theros is rotating as this is coming in, which kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, that's a little unfortunate, because that would be a great combo. I'd love to see
and
that.
And this is an excellent board wipe and or finisher.
Yeah, exactly.
So are we on to green?
Oh, yes. We're on to green. My color.
Oh, good.
My color.
All right. Hit us up. Oh, we got to do the flavor text. Not quite your color.
Oh, no.
So the flavor text for Rolling Thunder was, Zendikar is always angry. Though I've never seen that anger so perfectly directed. And it's this Eldrazi burn in 18.
That works, yeah. That works.
It kind of works with Radiant Flames as well. The fires of Zendikar are always hungry, and there is much on which they can feed.
Yeah.
And then the Barrage Tyrant is my favorite. Terrible Fury. Excellent aim.
Because I like it.
He's angry and he's throwing stuff.
That's great.
Anyway, on to green. Let me show you some green stuff. This one's a little mediocre, I think, but it's very green.
Right.
Nissa's Renewal. 5 and a green for a sorcery at rare. Okay?
Okay.
So what do you expect from 5 and a green for a rare sorcery?
Green? I might be expecting some ramping. Maybe get some not quite Titanic growth or anything like that, but kind of along the same lines where you get like maybe a +2, +2, +3,
okay,
depending on what else is on there.
Let me read you the flavor text and you can take a guess again.
Yeah.
Her connection to the plane restored. Nissa felt the power of Zendikar surge through her. What do you think?
That kind of reminds me of, I'm trying to remember which block it was. It might have been Born of the Gods. But it was when they employed very much with green making lands creatures, and you can use those creatures to attack.
And Nissa is an animist, and that's what she does. She wakes up the land and says, go get him, boy.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think it was, it was the Nissa Planeswalker.
Yeah, I think that was an M15 when we saw her.
I think that was M15.
Nissa Worldwaker, she made forests and 4/4s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, which was awesome.
And I mean, that's good. That's a good
ability. I was almost willing to like pay money to buy that card from the store I went to.
Right.
But
not quite.
I didn't, but I really wanted that card and I could never get it.
So let me read you what this does. Search your library for up to 3 basic land cards, put them onto the battlefield, tapped, then shuffle your library. For 6.
I would never use that because it's too high. But that
that is a... The cost of this card is too high.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, that's along the lines of what my style of playing is. Like,
right,
get mana out so I can get my big guys out.
And compared to the ramp that we saw in old Eldrazi and the ramp we used to see, this is bad.
Yeah.
You can pay 3 in a green for ramp and growth in a new set or for ramp and growth and get 2 land.
Right.
And this is 6. Another 2 mana for 3 land.
Yeah.
There's more.
Okay.
Gain 7 life.
Ooh, that's where the extra cost comes in, I think.
A little bit, but it's still only 3, and it's only 7.
Right.
This doesn't help you at all.
Mm-hmm.
This does not win you the game.
No, it does not.
It buys you a little bit of time, and it gets a little bit more mana, and it's a way, and you use a card.
That's a card if you're starting to lose some life, and you don't quite have the mana for the card that you need to get out.
Right.
That's what that card is.
This is a ramp and a bandage.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you win. I would not run multiples of this into my deck.
I might put 1 or 2 in.
Right.
Because, you know, you run into that situation sometime where you're mana starved and you're starting to get hit and you can't quite get your big guys out, like your big hitters.
But if you already have 6 mana to cast this.
See, but, like, this is coming from a guy who plays with creatures
with elves,
7 and 8 drops.
Okay.
And with elves and everything. And so sometimes I'll get stuck at 6 when I need to get 7 or 8 to get my game-winning guys out.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's very much on-theme green. I wouldn't play it in a limited deck. I wouldn't play it at all because
I don't like that aspect
of green.
That's a card that I wish I could just call in at command. Just like, because that happens sometimes.
Right.
Where I'll get stuck and I need like 1 or 2 more mana. I'm just not getting it.
Right.
Where I'm just like, oh, I need that card. Let's
and
play
it's just a variance of the shuffle.
Exactly.
But you still need it.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, I can see that. We have something that you will quite like.
Ooh.
Orin Reef Hydra.
I like it so far.
He's very happy.
Fan of Hydra.
He's very happy. He has his happy face on.
Genesis Hydra was my jam.
Yes. So 4 and 2 green for 6 for a 5/5.
Okay.
Vanilla test, okay, a little lacking, especially
yeah,
for green.
Yeah.
It's a creature Hydra and it's rare. So you know it's gonna there's a lot here. It has landfall.
Ooh.
Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Orin Reef Hydra. I'm gonna stop there. How does that sound?
I like it. I like it a lot because that reminds me of the Staff of the Magistus because
mm-hmm.
they did the exact same thing. And it wasn't even just green land; it was whenever you had a green spell.
But that would gain your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this pumps your creature. It pumps
exactly.
Hydra.
Yeah. So it's the same idea, but with the creature rather than the player.
And with Hydras, the theme is +1/+1 counters represent their heads.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
as Zendikar roils and changes, the beast, the Hydra
grows
and gets better. There's more. If that land is a forest, put 2 +1/+1 counters on Orin Reef Hydra instead.
Ooh.
So turn 4 with a little bit of ramping. Turn 5 with a little bit of ramping. Turn 6 with a little bit of ramping, you drop this guy. And then you play your land for the turn because of the ramp. So you have, and it's a 4, so you have a 7/7/4/6
mm-hmm.
that will only get bigger. Especially if you're playing fetch lands or you've saved your evolving wilds for this.
Right.
So 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Well, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you were using that last card that we were talking about.
Right.
You take your 3 forests,
and you
get +6/+6 just like that.
Right. So you drop him, and then next turn, you do... Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you suddenly go from... What did he start as?
He started as a 5/5, which isn't nothing
yeah,
specific at either. With trample.
On turn 6, you put down a 5/5. Turn 7, you've got an 11/11.
Or more.
Exactly. I mean, because you might get your mana and then also play that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll have, that'd be a 13/13. On turn 7.
It's very much a Hydra. Very
yeah.
much a green Hydra.
Yeah.
And it's part of a cycle. We saw that Sphinx, who, whenever a land enters the battlefield, you do a thing.
Right.
We have this Hydra. We have these big-name, iconic creatures for each color with this landfall ability with a bonus if it's the particular color that you have.
Exactly.
Now, I'm scrolling back up to check, but we do not have one for white yet. So what do you think white would do? Like, it would probably be an angel of some sort, because
yeah.
there are angels on the planet.
Yeah, it would be an angel. One thing I also would think of...
For white, we're speculating here. We don't
yeah.
know. We don't have a spoiler, official spoiler. Wizards, yeah. if you want us to, hit us up. So it would be an angel.
In Theros, the lion people, what were they?
The Leonin.
Right, yeah, the Leonin.
There are no Leonin on the Zendikar, unfortunately.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, because that would be pretty cool if they
yeah.
brought those guys back.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But there are no Leonin on Zendikar. The closest you get are the Felidar, which are
too bad.
The saber-toothed cat things
right,
that
yeah.
are epic.
So yeah, probably would be an angel.
And there are angels on Zendikar, and they've been fighting the Eldrazi as well.
Yeah.
Slight angel theme, slight mentioning, well, more along the same as if they were doing elves or goblins or the core, the vampires.
Yeah, if not a soldier, angel, I'd say a soldier.
It would be a soldier. It would be
right.
like a human knight or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So
kinda
this
like
one
a guy
was...
looking
like
a paladin or something like that.
So the Sphinx was 5, the green is 6... I would think that the soldier would also be along the 5, because
I
green
think,
makes
yeah,
5, sense.
6, yeah.
Yeah, green makes sense.
Green makes sense being a little bit more.
Right.
And then I think 5, maybe even 4 with a little bit kind of a dinkier, dinky isn't really the right word to use, but kind of like slightly less on the power.
Right, because
I could totally see that
power.
With 4, because 4 does that all the time, where they're like, they'll have like a theme for all the colors and
right.
everything.
Right.
And then white will be, like, slightly less, but, like, still worth it.
Because it's cheaper.
Exactly.
Right. For the amount of mana you're putting in, you're getting cheap. So both of the iconic creature for the color, double color in the mana cost,
mm-hmm.
and the ability that is actually... The ability is very much on color, and the ability that is if it's it's a forest or an island is very much on color.
Yeah.
So those are the criteria we go for. So for a white one, let's take it as an angel. Let's say it's... 3 and 2 white for an angel, a 4/4. You think that sounds good for an angel?
Yeah, that sounds good for an angel. 4/4 sounds about right.
I mean, we can make it a 3/3 and have it be even more white as if it had to rely on others.
Exactly.
But I think a 4/4 with flying and vigilance.
Oh yeah, that sounds very white.
Very, very, very white here.
White power.
Stop that. funny story. I have a shirt with the Boros symbol. Mm-hmm. Boros is a guild from Return to Ravnica, or from Ravnica Block, and it's a fist on a red sun background, kind of. And someone asked me, "Are you supporting white power?" And I look at them and I have the most inane surge to facepalm and then to tell them no. But I just say no and laugh at them inside my head.
Right.
But, three and two white, four flying vigilance. Good. Landfall. What would we do here? When a land enters the battlefield under your control.
I feel like it would be life gain.
Life gain?
Yeah.
I think it would be creature pump.
Do you think
so? It could be both. If a land enters the battlefield under your control, creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. If it was a plains, they also gain lifelink.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That would be good.
Yes.
Or, if not lifelink, it could be they get +2/+2 until end of turn. Would it be too much to give them indestructible instead of lifelink?
I think if we're saying it's going to be a 4-drop, then yes.
Especially for like a rare cycle.
I think if they're going to do... If they're going to go up, like, blue and green, like, maybe mm-hmm. 5 or even a 6, mm-hmm. maybe even higher than that, then indestructible would not be out of the question.
Right.
In fact, indestructible being gone would be out of the question.
Right. But we already have that hero of Gomafada who gives them,
right.
gives allies indestructible. So I'm thinking that the +1/+1 and then lifelink, or maybe vigilance.
Yeah.
One of
yeah.
those. One of
yeah.
those.
I think one of the go-to white powers.
Right. Cool. Well, we also don't know about the black one either.
Yeah, I was gonna say. And did
well, no, we, yeah, no, we don't because the Defiant Bloodlord, but it, that's not landfall.
Right. Yeah.
So what do we call that one? I mean, we have the Defiant Bloodlord at 5 and 2 black for 7. Would it be a 6, a 3, and or 4 and 2 black? You think?
I think for black, it would either be a high cost or low cost. It wouldn't be really a mid
right.
4 or 5 range. I think it would be, like, maybe even go so far as to say a 2 or 3.
Mm.
Or okay. maybe, like, a 5 or a 6.
I think it would be a 6 cost, just to keep on theme with the rest of them.
That's
it wouldn't surprise me if Wizards just came out and said, oh, look, it's a 2-cost
exactly,
cost
yeah.
creature.
I
don't know what it would be, though.
Because we are zombie.
They're, zombies aren't really a theme, though, on Zendikar. I mean, you didn't know that, but they're just not a theme. They're,
I guess,
they're
yeah.
there once in a while, but vampires are the black creature on Zendikar.
Yeah.
We already have this Bloodlord.
Exactly, yeah. That's, I mean, the real way I would say it would, like, maybe even be so far as to say that Sorin somehow gets zombies in there, too. I mean...
Okay.
Being you know, the guy well, for black.
Right, right. Zombies are just a natural thing, I suppose.
I guess.
Vampires have to be... Vampires and angels, strangely enough, have to be created. They are
right,
not natural
yeah.
beings.
Exactly, yeah.
They can't have sparks, so they can't be planeswalkers. Except for Sorin, because he was a human who got turned into a vampire. And that's what ignited his spark.
Right.
It's kind of shady there. But
yeah.
the angels and vampires have to be created. But if it were to be a vampire, what would it do? We're going for 6, and it would be what power and toughness?
Power and toughness, I'd say for a 6 drop,
mm-hmm.
I'd say it'd maybe be 6-5. 6-5?
6-5?
Maybe even 5-5.
6-4, maybe.
6-4, you think?
4-5, 6-5?
6-4 seems a little more red to me.
True.
Because, I mean... Not that, like, this is the solid
right,
black, but
right.
I've noticed it's usually, like, the power is only 1 higher than the toughness.
Right, and then red is a little bit more so because it's
yeah.
more impulsive.
Yeah,
because
you'll even see, like, 7 twos in red.
Right, and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And for sake of time, let's say it's a vampire for 6. That's a 5-4?
Yeah,
5-4.
5-4.
5-4? What was it? The vampire that we saw had flying.
Right.
Would it have a base ability of lifelink, you think? Or would it have flying?
I think it would have lifelink because that already has life or
flying,
yeah.
Right.
So I mean, not to say that they wouldn't, but
right.
it just seems to me like they wouldn't use the same power on two things like that.
Right. So, sorry, for the next, excuse
I mean,
me. So it's a 6-5 or was it a 5-4?
5-4.
So 5-4 with lifelink 4-6.
Right.
Not bad.
Right.
But then the landfall. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent loses 2 life?
Yeah, that sounds very black.
And that's very much the voice on the Bloodlord, and if it was a swamp, you gain that much life?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
mean,
so.
That's also just going right off the Bloodlord, but it also is in just right in synergy with the Bloodlord, too.
Exactly. I mean, that totally follows, like, I mean, the theme here is, like, you take, like, the go-to thing for that color,
mm-hmm.
and you make it, like, even better by the landform.
Making it efficient something. With
exactly. I mean, because, like...
And it would make sense because the vampires would work together and they would be synergistic.
Right, like green, you'd need trample.
Which this one has.
Yeah, red, you'd probably have first strike.
Or haste.
Or haste, yeah. No, first strike would be more white, I guess.
Well, first strike is within red and white. So
yeah, that's true. I don't know, just based on my experience, it seems more white than red. But
Vigilance is white.
Vigilance is definitely
blue. White. Is card draw and unblockability, that sort of.
Or
flying. Vigilance for
vigilance
white.
And flying.
Flying for blue. Black is death touch.
Death touch. That's what we're thinking. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
So rather than lifelink, I think the base would be death touch.
Death touch, you think? And then. Okay. Yeah. And then it would be deal damage and
yeah.
and whatnot. So that's not for black, and then red is haste, is that,
yeah.
that, and then green is trample.
Right.
So, I mean, that's very much, okay, look at this one. The blue sphinx we have, flying. The green one, trample. I would not be surprised if you're exactly correct, and the black one has death touch.
Yeah.
And if the white one will have vigilance. I mean, we probably won't have flying and vigilance like we guessed.
Yeah.
But it'll probably have vigilance for sure.
Yeah.
So that's the black.
So I'm thinking it might be a soldier rather than an angel then.
Right, or like an ally. Oh
yeah.
Gosh, an ally that one of these.
Man,
that would and it would be right in theme with giving your rest of your guys
it would.
Plus one.
It totally
and,
would.
And
it totally would.
Life. Oh man, we are on top of it.
Yeah,
wizards, if you want
it.
Us, we're here.
Seriously,
please, we are poor college students.
Yep. Money.
Plus fun and all that.
That too, yeah.
Anyway. We also don't have one for red. So let's do red real quick.
Okay.
Like you said, it's very much impulsive, very much distortion. So
haste would be the bait.
Haste. 5-3, 5-2. Kind of give it a
yeah.
Kind of give it a lightning elemental style thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 5-2 for 3-2 red.
Right.
Or 2-2 red even. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for 5-2 with haste
mm-hmm.
and landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield. Creatures you control get haste.
Yeah.
And then if it's a mountain,
deal
1 damage to each creature target opponent controls.
That seems a little strong
with all the Eldrazi going around.
Or
going around.
Deal 3 damage to target creature or player.
That's possible. That's very feasible.
Yeah, do a lightning strike.
And it works because it has, like, if it's a 5-2, it has a lot of power, a lot of benefits, but it's really, really weak.
Yeah.
That's what red does.
Yeah.
Red has the fire, has the lightning elementals, and all the stuff that it's a 5-1, but you have to sacrifice that end of turn for like
right.
2 mana,
exactly.
3 mana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is actually really, really on theme.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with the rest of the cycle as things are previewed. But that was an excellent discussion. We've got a few cards to finish up, and then we're out for the night.
Yeah.
And half of these we can sum up in just one quick talk
around.
We've
got the multicolored, right?
We've got one green, multicolored, an artifact, and then some land.
Okay.
And the land we can group together.
Yeah.
So excellent discussion there. I really like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Predicting cycles is fun. This is Retreat to Kazandu. We had to retreat from Aria, now we're going to Kazandu.
Right.
This is 2 and a green, so it's already cheaper than the 3 and a white that we saw before.
Uh-huh.
It's also uncommon, it's also enchantment. And we could speculate on this one, but we're not going to. We've done enough excellent speculating for the night, unless you want to. But all right. So it has landfall, just like the other one. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, choose one. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature, or you gain 2 life. I think for me personally, it would always be that +1/+1 counter.
Yeah.
Because it's a permanent buff.
That's true, yeah.
Well, the white one gave it to everything until end of turn. This one gives it to one thing until forever.
Right.
And green has a tradition of working very well with +1/+1 counters.
Exactly.
There's
yeah.
a huge theme of it in Khan's block.
Yeah.
So that would be quite awesome. And it's right at 3, right at the threshold of playability, and with the fetches in Khan's and well, not so much in Zendikar. Zendikar's, when the fetches kind of came out, they're not going to be reprinted in Zendikar, but there's other, there's Evolving Wilds and whatnot that's
going to
go.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, that's totally possible. I think this one is more to the playability side than, like, it's like right in the middle of being playable, while the white one is not so much.
Right.
So, cool.
Yeah, we're gonna, definitely.
Another good cycle. We have another Eldrazi. Do you want to read the last two Eldrazi?
Sure.
And then I'll take the other two colorless.
Yeah, I can take them.
Right.
All right.
We're going to read.
So, firstly, we have Brood Butcher. It's a 5-drop. We got 3, a black, and a green.
Ooh. I thought it was a... Okay, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Black. So it's an Eldrazi drone creature. It's devoid. So it says, when Brood Butcher enters the battlefield, put a 1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature token onto the battlefield.
Cool.
It has sacrificed this creature, add 1 mana to your mana pool. Then, we've also got pay a green and a black for sacrifice a creature. Target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn.
That's a mobile kill spell.
Exactly.
That's really good. What's the rarity?
It is rare.
What's the power and toughness?
3/3.
I think you said it.
I don't think I did.
So 5 for a 3/3, that fails the vanilla test. Mm-hmm. But it's a walking kill spell.
Exactly, yeah.
And in old Zendikar, kill spells were very hard to come by.
Yeah.
Very, very hard and very, very expensive when they were effective. Mm-hmm. So just a straight -2/-2, that gets past indestructible.
Yep.
So the Hero Gumafada, it doesn't die to this, but it definitely can't protect its people.
Mm-hmm.
Brings a little buddy along.
It's
not quite as solid as some of the other stuff we saw before, but it's a versatile thing.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
All right, so the next one we have is Forerunner of Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2-drop. Got a black and a red. So it's an Eldrazi drone creature, devoid. So we've also got pay 1 mana, target colorless creature gains haste until end of turn.
That's on theme.
That is. And it's a 3/2 of uncommon.
Cool. That's like a really, really just solid black-red Eldrazi.
I'm satisfied
with that.
I like it, yeah. I would use it.
And like we were saying, it's got the 3/2. It's black and red. It's that style of a creature they got there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the haste of red. And
I like it. Yeah, it's good.
While we delay, they are on the move. They will not wait as we bicker. We are losing this war by moments as our goals slip beyond all reach. That's what Gideon says. Forerunner's Slaughter, they're coming at you. They're going to get you. And he's there's like a tent and a flag behind him. So this Forerunner's Slaughter, he's running through Zendikar camp, killing stuff.
Yeah.
Quite literally, forerunning and slaughtering.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah. Good job.
Had your kids, had your wives.
That draws you up in here.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Sound wrong.
There's a parody there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, here's one. This is a legendary creature that we saw in original Zendikar, Omnath. He's an elemental. He's a being of green mana.
Okay.
And in the original, he was a pretty beefy guy, and he had an ability that said, mana doesn't empty from your mana pool.
Ooh.
So you can tap all your stuff at the end of turn, at the end of your opponent's turn, it'll be there. You untap, you tap it all, you have even more.
Wow.
He was called Locus of Mana. This is excellent character development, quote unquote. This is Omnath, Locus of Rage.
Ooh.
Before Omnath was mono green. Now he's 3 colorless and 2 red and 2 green.
Ooh.
So for 7, he's a 5/5.
Okay. Doesn't pass the null test.
No, not at all.
Let's see what else there is.
But he's a legendary creature, elemental, and he's mythic. So he definitely does something.
Right.
He has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a 5/5 red and green elemental creature token with onto the battlefield.
So all right then.
Just land.
Rawr! Nice.
Time to fight. There's more. Whenever Omnath, Locust of Rage, or another elemental you control dies, it deals 3 damage to target creature or player. So not only do you get a 5/5, you get a 5/5 with a free lightning bolt attached when it dies.
Yeah.
That's encourage you to play it, turn it sideways, and go to town.
Let me take a look at the art on this.
Yeah. Oh, he's so angry. So take a look at the art.
Yeah.
His big, hulking, green mana thing with red. It looks like his arms are on fire. Now, in your mind, I want you to picture the Dr. Octagon approach, firing my laser thing, that meme. You remember that? Giant lips and giant eyes and mm-hmm. a laser burst. I would imagine that on his face.
Oh, man.
Firing my elementals! Wow, that was a big sound spike.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
And there's little elementals, like, I'm a fire, I'm a laser, as they shoot lightning bolts.
Yeah.
I like this guy. He's very much on theme, very
That's
fun.
Definitely a guy I would put in a red-green deck of mine.
I would build a commander deck around this guy.
Oh.
He would be very fun to build a commander.
Yeah, he would.
He's going in my commander deck that I already have.
There you go.
Very, very much a beat down whatnot.
Yeah.
But we are on to our last multicolor and our ally. This is the Veteran War Leader. Very much an ally name. I like that right there. He's one, a green, and a white. And this is the first ally we saw. Mm-hmm. One and a green and a white for a star. That means that changes.
Right.
He's a creature, human, soldier, ally. So human, soldier, and ally. They're all relevant creature types.
Right.
He's a rare. Veteran War Leader's power and toughness are each equal to the number of allies you control. Cool.
Very cool.
So if you have much allies, he's as much as as many allies as you have. If
yeah.
There are ally tokens. Gideon makes 2/2 knight ally tokens.
Right.
So you drop Gideon, you make a token, and this guy, he's a 2/2. Gideon stands up, he's a 3/3 with Gideon's +1.
Right.
There's more. Tap another untapped ally you control. Veteran War Leader gains your choice of first strike, vigilance, or trample until end of turn. So if you go into combat, and you're looking at what's going on and say, okay, I'm going to tap this guy and give him first strike. Because mm-hmm. he's a 3/3, and now he's 3/3 with first strike. And I'll tap another one and give him trample. So it's like they buff him up, and he attacks. It's very much a very green-white there.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the allies?
I like the allies a lot. Like I said before, it reminds me of Heroic.
Oh, yeah. And look at that art. It's very much a soldier, a warrior.
Yeah.
I think soldier is the best thing, and heroic is a good way to phrase the allies, but it's a very different mechanic.
Yeah.
But I definitely love the art style. The art style in Zendikar is so beautiful.
I really like it. Yeah.
There's a book coming out in January called The Art of Zendikar. It's a $40 book. Just gives the art and a little bit of story about each of the pieces, and so beautiful, so beautiful.
Ooh, looking ahead too.
Hedron. That's JCC there. That's his cloak. This is if you like it, you read it.
All right.
I should not take that away from you.
All right. So we've got an artifact here, 4-drop. It's Hedron Archive. So you can tap this card and add 2 to your mana pool.
Okay.
Also, you can pay 2, tap this card, sacrifice Hedron Archive, draw 2 cards.
So it's a less effective Thrawn Dynamo, which is a 4-drop that adds 2 or 3, I think, colorless.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also draw your cards in an emergency. So in like a green deck, you can put this down and act as a ramp. And when when you're stuck, you can pay a little bit of mana and draw those cards you need.
Exactly, yeah.
I think it's kind of versatile. It being at 4, I don't know if it will do very much in limited.
Yeah.
But it might be playing commander and maybe a little bit in standard. I'm not sure. But
The
exciting part, Zendikar is all about the lands. And last time we got fetches. Fetches were lands you could play down, you could tap it, pay a life, and you could sacrifice it to go get one of 2 of the basic lands.
Mm-hmm.
So either an island or a plains. Or I think in old Zendikar it was a plains and a mountain, the enemy-colored fetches.
Right.
And then in cons we got the allied-colored fetches, which is Windswept Heath, for example, is you can fetch up a plains or a forest.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have those right now. We have something different. These are being called the... Well, I'll tell you the nickname in a second.
Okay.
They're allied as well. So we'll go for Prairie Stream. And let me say first and foremost, if you have not seen the art for this card, pause this podcast, go Google it, and come back. We'll wait. Okay, you back? This is Prairie Stream, and they're all rares. It's a land. It's a plains island. So it's like the Shocklands, where they have the dual type, which is very cool.
Very.
And it says, like with the fetch line, you could go get a plains, you could fetch up one of these. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Same with the Shocklands. It was, which was, they enter the battlefield tapped unless you pay 2 life. Which, I mean, shock.
Mm-hmm.
These are, you can tap it to add white or blue to your mana pool. So I just play it, and it enters the battlefield tapped unless you control 2 or more basic lands.
Ooh.
Very much pushing the basics, just like with the others, we hypothesized about,
mm-hmm.
those control forests. Forests are usually on the basic subtype.
Yeah.
But here, there's the Cinder Glade, which is a mountain forest, or the Canopy Vista, which is a forest plains.
Mm-hmm.
There's options here. But these are called the Tango Lands. because it takes two to tango.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So there's a full cycle, the canopy vista, the cinder glade, the prairie stream, the smoldering marsh, and the sunken hollow with all the allied colors. Right. And we'll probably get the other half in the enemy colors of the Tango Lands in the next set, which will be quite awesome. I'm excited to see what these are, and I'm excited to get my hands on them, because lands hold their value.
Yeah.
Right. Will, that is all of Zendikar.
Well then.
That is, what are your thoughts?
I would really love to see a chromatic or artifact Zendikar deck.
You like that. You like the Eldrazi.
Really, yeah. I think that'd be really, really cool. It would totally stand up against a Sliver deck.
It would stand up on its own fairly well.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I'm, but I really, 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 really want to see an Eldrazi versus Sliver. That would be such a cool battle.
Like as a card game, or just like as a cinematic?
Well, both, really.
What if for you out there, you know StarCraft and WarCraft, all the Blizzard cinematics that are so amazing, what if they started doing that quality of animation for Magic?
Oh, man.
So you get, like, instead of a James Rayner or a Zeratul slicing through Zerg, you have Gideon slicing through Eldrazi with such that amazing quality, that Blizzard quality animation.
Oh, let's write it a letter right now.
I'm getting nerd tingles. Hang on. Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, I'm excited for this set.
Yeah. That's good.
It's very good. All right, we've been talking for quite a long time. I'm going to let Will go to sleep, and hopefully we haven't scared him off, and I can grab him for future shows.
Perhaps.
If he'd be up for it. But review shows always go a bit long, because there's tons of cards to talk
about.
Right. So if we do bring you on, it'll be to show you a few specific cards.
Okay, cool.
Hopefully we'll be able to get Austin and Trevor back in a regular schedule, as we had some fun in the first two episodes so far. Hopefully this will... I really want this to extend out there. So if you have any suggestions out there to improve the show, our contact information is all around the name Cardstock. You can email us at cardstockpodcast@gmail.com. Search in Twitter for cardstockcast at Twitter. Is our Twitter handle.
Words, mouth, things.
Yes. And that'll let you know when the show goes up and how we do if we ever go to events all together. Which it might be me and Will going to events, and then Austin and Trevor, because they live closer together. But, I'm excited for Battle for Zendikar. Those are my final thoughts. You can follow me on Twitter at Oofdaw the Great, and on Tumblr and various places. That's my personal account and whatnot. Will, your final thoughts and then contact information if people want to talk to you or...
Don't
talk to Will. Will is being eaten by Eldrazi. He doesn't have time for your shenanigans.
No, I don't.
He's got to go get Slivers to fight Eldrazi. He doesn't have time for this.
No, I'm kidding. No, the final thoughts, I would love to. If I had a job, if I had money, Oh, man, I would get back into this hardcore.
I will totally spot you for a pre-release
maybe.
If you want to come.
Yeah,
I mean,
perhaps.
As
we've got our debt board out there. So
Definitely. As an apartment, we have a whiteboard that's, okay, who owes who money?
It's great. It's a good idea.
Luckily, we are all giant nerds, and we all get along very well.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't hijack there. Final thoughts, shout-outs, continue.
Final thoughts, that's really all there is. Contact information, if you really want to get a hold of me, go ahead through these guys, go through all that, the card stock.
The email and all that.
Yeah, if you want to contact me personally, I'm on Facebook, and...
I don't think we want to do Facebook and such, but...
Yeah, please avoid that.
Yeah, talk to us. We'll send any messages towards Will with added insult and whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
No.
If so be. But, I'm on PlayStation Network, I'm on Xbox Live, I'm just Tippy Statue, that is my name. It is
cool.
Just what fits with me, it's my nickname, I've had it for a couple of years now.
Nice.
If you really want to contact me through email, just go ahead, it's going to be... Feralia11@gmail.com. That is Feralia, the number 11. That's 2 1s, 1 1 at gmail.com.
Nice. Send him a bunch of emails saying you want him to be back on the show and all that if you do so desire.
If not, leave me alone.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's got a Batman shirt on right now. He's very much a solitary creature of the night.
Yeah.
We were going to try and get Austin and Trevor. We have a friend, Dan Credits. We were going to try and get him on the show tonight. He was busy. He's he's very, very busy with school. He takes a lot of, like, high-level classes. But hopefully we'll be able to get Dan on the show every once in a while. If you're listening, Dan, get on here. Talk to me. But, yeah, that's the show today. Thanks for listening. We will be back with Austin and Trevor. And if not, more of Will or whoever I can scrounge up to talk about the cards in stock, Cardstock podcast. Yeah. See ya.
See ya.
He waved at the computer. Because I also waved, but...
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.